Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, February 27th, 2023, and we have all sorts of things to talk about tonight. It's open mic night. I put a variety of topics out there, but the focus is call to action. We've been talking about that this year. Call to action. We must get engaged. And the other is, who will defend our national sovereignty and our rights? Do you really think anybody in Washington, D.C. is going to? Please, give me a break. Which is why I'm saying I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. Please say that wherever you can. Spread that word. I am actually hearing something pretty much to that on some of the talk shows these days. We have to remember, if you love your country, if you care about this country, we have to be very afraid of what this government is doing to us because they're destroying our country. They really, really are. So anyway, plan on calling in and talking about the various topics. I've put a list out here, which is only a starting point. There's many other things going on out there. But before I go there, I'm going to read what I read last week. Usually I do the Pledge or the American Creed, but last week read the thing from George Washington, and it just seems so relevant. I'm going to, and relevant for this show and relevant for the time, I'm going to go ahead and read it again just as a reminder of what they were thinking back then and that God was part of the equation and what people need to do. So here it is. The time is now near at hand which must probably determine whether Americans are to be freemen or slaves, whether they are to have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are will be pillaged and destroyed and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human effort will deliver them. The fate of the unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage and the conduct of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemies leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die. And I'm telling you, that's where we are today. They're taking away our land, stopping people from having single-family homes, taking the farmers' lands, doing all sorts of garbage to have solar panels all over the place and windmills and stopping the farmers from growing our food or selling it to China. It's all insane. It's all so insane. So I want to talk about a variety of things, and then please think of, this is what Washington said. This is what George Washington said as they were fighting the revolution. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die. And we really are there. I wish more people would understand that they're so brainwashed by the perverted and propaganda media that's out there that they don't take the time to think about it, which goes to, we talk a lot about education, knowledge. Well, I frequently make reference to the three levels of knowledge, ignorant, dumb, and stupid. So are Americans ignorant? Are they dumb? Or are they stupid? Or some combination of both? Without a doubt, the ignorance has gotten higher. The dumbing down of Americans has been successful. Dumb. Some people just can't connect two dots, no matter what you give them, how you convince them of it. And then stupid is, do you still believe you should wear a mask? If you're still believing you should wear a mask after everything they have said and proven over this pandemic, I have to say you're kind of stupid. Don't want to be rude, but how could you lead a horse to water? Can't make him drink? I don't know. So the mentality of people who would still think you should wear a mask after everything they've shown, who would still even suggest that you vaccinate kids after everything that's happened here. And, of course, now it's coming once again. Gosh, it really did come from a lab. They've proven it's so insane. And if you're still believing the stuff, then you qualify for that stupid classification. You got to be stupid. You got to be stupid to still believe it. Sorry. Nothing personal, just you got to be stupid to still believe it. And the other, there's so many other things. Like I said, I have a list of things out there. I'm going to go down a few items here. And what are we going to do to save this country? That's why, again, I'm calling the show the Call to Action. Who is going to defend our national sovereignty and our rights? And a big thing that's going up right now, and I definitely have contacted every one of my elected from the local to the state to the federal level about the World Health Organization. Apparently, which I'd seen this in the past, so it's really nothing new, our president has gone out there trying to surrender our rights to the World Health Organization. Why don't we sign this treaty or amendment to it, and then the World Health Organization that's controlled by Bill Gates and the CCP are going to be able to tell us when we have to be mandated for vaccines and all this other nonsense? That's giving away our sovereignty. It's giving away our rights. They don't have the right to do that, but yet they're out there playing these games. So everybody listening, contact every one of your representatives, local all through the top, and tell them, no, this isn't acceptable. You got to try to do what you can at the state level, because we do have this thing called the 10th Amendment. If you have governors that have governors and a state legislature that have any kind of backbone and have any kind of core beliefs of this country, they need to exercise the 10th Amendment and protect the rights of the people of their states. The states, if the states do the right thing, the federal government has no choice. But that really means the states have to stop going to the gravy train of the federal government and taking money from them, which is the other part of this problem. We are a fascist society. This country is very fascist these days. Anybody that doesn't realize that isn't paying attention either. Goes back to those three different levels of knowledge with how the federal government manipulates and gets control in other ways. While they're not doing it directly, they're doing it through other means, through corporations, et cetera, et cetera. And if we don't push back, we just cannot comply with the stuff. We have to reject it. That's if you want to have a country. Now, if you want the Chinese Communist Party to take over the United States of America, they're ready to do it. They're all over the place. They've already halfway done it now. Who do you think controls the White House? Biden and Ukraine, as far as that goes, the Biden family, the mob, whatever you want to call them, they don't dare say much against these people because they are already so compromised, as I think the buzzword of the day, compromised. And isn't compromised another word for treason or traitor or both? So that's what they are. So the thing with the WHO is, these are amendments that Biden, I believe, submitted. He submitted some. I don't know if he submitted them all. And it's to hand over full control to global health, to this World Health Organization that Trump got us out of. Had there not been a totally fraudulent 2020 election with this, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But they're trying to hand over our rights to a World Health Organization. We need to get out of all these things. We need to get out of the United Nations, need to get out of the Health Organization, get out of the World Trade. We need to become a sovereign country again, like we used to be. We haven't been a sovereign country in many years. We've been totally being controlled by the likes of these others and the crooks, the evildoers, like the Bidens and company. The other is, upcoming the election 2024, a couple things. Probably next week, but if not next week, the week after, we'll be doing a show on the upcoming election 2024 and taking a dive into a lot of things on the Constitution. What is a natural born citizen who's allowed to run for president, and the uniparty, and what's going to happen here. And we'll get into a little bit of the discussion with DeSantis and Trump. DeSantis and Trump, if they both go out there after each other, they might as well just forget it, throw in the towel now, because they are setting themselves up. That's exactly what the uniparty wants them to do, because they know if they get a fight going between the two, it'll just split the vote, and then neither one of them will win, and whoever the uniparty candidate will win. There is the other guy out there who's running, if I can remember his name, which I actually like him, Vivek, I think is his name, something. He announced, I guess, last week, and he's the guy who came up with the new financial services for the funding to bypass the ESG stuff and everything. And I really like what he's saying. I mean, I think he and Trump would make an excellent combination. I think DeSantis should continue to be governor. DeSantis was on Mark Levin last night, And they never really talked about the election. Who was it? Oh, I guess it wasn't Mark Levin. It was somebody else was saying something about DeSantis could run for office. And it was on Rave this morning. Well, DeSantis could run for office. He doesn't get elected. He's still the governor. No, not the way it is right now. If the state legislature plays with the laws, that might be the case. But as it stands right now, if DeSantis is going to run for president, he has to resign from the governorship. And this was done a few years back because of the likes of, if you're going to run for president, you can't be a governor. You can't do both. And all your time is focused, and this was Charlie Crist, I think, who was doing it. And you can't just hold up that public, the state office, the governor's office like that. So if they play with the laws and switch it, then maybe he could do that. But as it stands right now, he can't do that. He would have to resign as governor. And that's why many of us don't want him to resign. We want him to continue to be the governor. And also we realize we need strong governors with a strong president. We need the governors to totally back up a constitutional president if we want to turn this country around and save it. So that's the other part on that one. And let's see, we've got the thing on the Nuremberg trials coming up. I think there's going to be one. I think we will end up having the Nuremberg trials for COVID, what has happened here. There definitely should be. And I'm going to have Tom Pastore come on. He's going to talk a little bit about the code, the trials in the past, and why we need this now and how this all relates. We need to put an end to this insanity, what they're doing with these vaccines. They're killing us. They're killing us. Are we okay with our own government killing us? Because that's really what's happening, which is pretty sick. Those of you in Florida, especially up on the panhandle, I'm going to be writing a letter to our friends in Tallahassee and also some locals to say, so you think solar panels are a big win? We get some big windfall because somehow we've been granted probably federal money for solar panels that do nothing except destroy our farmland and our food supply. Would you rather have solar panels or food? I see Karen out there. I'm going to see. She told me that they're hard to digest. Solar panels are hard to digest, and they don't have the proper vitamins and stuff like that. So you have to decide which way you want to go on that one. But they're acting like, wow, look at this. We got all this money. Oh, yes, what a win, what a win. To destroy the farmland, which is what they're trying to do. And I've got, like I say, a list of things out here talking about the Biden surrendering our rights to the World Health Organization and then how he totally aids China in the takeover of this country. And I've got a different list of all the different things he's done to help China. We can talk about that silly balloon, the spy balloon that Biden said, oh, hey, how you doing up there? Yeah, keep going. We'll let you do what you got to do, and then we'll pretend we did something about it later after you're out in the Atlantic Ocean. But tell us that you got all you needed first before we take you down. Okay. Isn't that what Biden did? Well, seems like it to me from what I was seeing. And then how China has, which Biden didn't allow China to take over this whole country. That's been going on for years. But we're at a point right now, and because of him being in there, Trump was reversing a lot of that. We were pushing China back, and we were starting to be more independent and also energy independent and things like that. And then Biden went in there and stopped everything that Trump was doing. So Biden by no means created this takeover by the Chinese Communist Party, but he definitely helped them an awful lot. In a matter of 2 years, he's done a lot to seal the deal with it. And they are so embedded in this country right now. They have so much control over everything we do, including healthcare. Thank goodness I don't take any prescription drugs, but they do that too. And so, and it's just how we have totally surrendered ourselves to the Chinese Communist Party without even knowing it. Many of us were out there pushing back, like we didn't like the Smithfield Foods deal back in 2014. We didn't like them buying up all this real estate. You can't go buy real estate in China like that. But we're letting them to come in and take over our country. It's just so insane. And our country's fallen, totally fallen. And then the other thing, which, again, I'm going to stop ranting here and get some other people and engaged in this conversation. The nerve, for it's President's Day, and he's over in Ukraine. We've had this big disaster, this train derailment in this uncontrolled burn, whatever they were supposed to be doing with these chemicals. and all the harm that's come to these people in Palestine, Ohio. And he's over there saying, we're going to secure your retirement. We're going to give you money. We're going to... He's taking care of the Ukrainians while he trashes the American people. Again, if this isn't impeachment, if this isn't treason, isn't traitor, being a traitor to your own country, what is? Please explain. Am I the one who's ignorant here? Ignorant, dumb, and stupid? Which one is it? How can anybody support what he's doing over there while we have our own people? Charity begins at home. Yes, you help your neighbor, but you feed your own family first, don't you? Or do you starve your own child while you're feeding all the neighbors in the neighborhood? Isn't that crazy? Point it to me, how this can be. It absolutely no sense to it. And there again, the knowledge. Well, are ignorant, dumb, or stupid? I think I'm getting a text here. Let's see if I can see what's coming in here. Let's see. Well, once again, this crazy cell phone of mine isn't doing what it's supposed to. Nothing new there. Okay. Anyway, the what they're doing to us right now, just look across the board. We're being destroyed at every level. We are destroying the farmland, which is our food supply, for useless solar energy, which will do nothing. Everything they're doing with energy is going to harm us. It's going to lower our standard of living, lower our freedoms and our liberties. It's not going to help anybody. They're trying to kill us off, either through a plandemic or through other means that they're going to be doing. It's just insane. When it comes to killing us off, China and the fentanyl, it's bioweapons. We're being attacked by the bioweapon, which goes back to the thing with Ohio. The chemicals that were on that train, apparently there's a lot of questions going on about this. What exactly was it? How was that train derailed? And some are trying to say it was because they're, again, blaming it on Trump because he deregulated something. But it was the tracks that were causing the problem, as I understood it. There was something, some kind of fire underneath it is what started this problem. It wasn't the bad tracks. It was a fire. And so this caused an explosion or the derailment, whatever. And one thing led to another. And now they have had this total controlled burn, whatever, very much an uncontrolled burn, which has poisoned that whole community, that whole area, not to mention how far it's really extended. Do we truly know how far that carried over into Pennsylvania and the surrounding states? We really don't know. But what was Biden's concern? Well, we have to secure the pension plans for the Ukrainian people. We have to make sure they have money in their pocket. This is what he's saying. How insane is this? How totally insane. Please explain to me how this makes any sense. It doesn't. And then, of course, Trump went in there. And, you know, some people are going to say it was a political stunt, whatever. I don't really care if it was. Trump took the time to go in there because our own president was too busy supporting other countries. He didn't care about his own country. He cares about the others. When we all know why, the money laundering and everything else. But Trump went in there. He spoke to him. He brought them supplies, the McDonald's, the water. And I don't see how you can condemn Trump for doing that. He had the means to do it. There's others out there who have the means to also assist. I don't know what they're doing. Unfortunately, I don't have that kind of money. I would try to help if I could, but I don't have that kind of money. But it's terrible to think our own government. This is why we have to be afraid of our own government. This is the way our government behaves. And, of course, the idiot in the Department of Transportation, and I'm calling him an idiot because it's the nicest thing I can say. I'm not even going to go by his name. You know, he was too busy talking about why the white people get the jobs on road construction and something. The only thing he has a solution to is anything to do with transportation is racist. I mean, really? Are you really this insane? And again, who's listening? What level of knowledge do you have if you're listening to the insanity of what this guy is saying? And we all know what the qualifications were. So it's just so sad. This is what is happening to us. I say I've got a list of things out there for the different things. I've listed out there the Biden administration is destroying this and destroying that. It didn't start with Biden. We had things turning around with Trump. We were starting to right the ship with Trump on many things. Not everything, many things. But then Biden came in, and it all went back to where Obama was. And, you know, George W. Bush, he was a globalist too, but, you know, so it wasn't started with Obama either. But Obama, it was given very much leeway to do whatever he wanted, because if you challenge anything he did, you were a racist. And I think that's where, you know, this major, major thing with the racism became so widespread. So the insanity of it all, massive. You just think about it. Prior to Obama, here we elect a black and white, and truly a non-American. We do all those things, and yet we're going to be accused of being more racist. Okay, explain. Is it ignorant, dumb, or stupid? Come on, which one is it? It makes no sense. But that was never the plan. People have got to understand the history, as we talked about last week, of what the plan is. The plan is to take down the United States of America at whatever cost. They don't care. They can do whatever. They will do whatever it takes. Do you truly think the Chinese Communist Party cares about killing people? Look what they do to their own people. Do you think they will play us, which they have done for decades, and now they've got the opportunity, not because they think Biden's wonderful, but because, hey, it gives them an opportunity to take even a greater hold of this country than they already have. It's sick. Absolutely sick. And with that being said, I see Karen out there, and I'm sure she's got a few thoughts on what I'm saying. Hello, Karen. How are you doing this evening?
Okay, great. The mute button wouldn't go on.
Oh, somebody, I hate when that happens.
Somebody's playing with my phone so I can't talk.
we can hear you now.
Good. Okay, well, for George Washington, A+ as always. He is was an incredible statesman. And he was the perfect example of a moral president. What you are describing is what we need to look at and to recognize is that without the piece of morality, which is what is lacking, people are expendable. They don't care. When are we going to get it in our heads that they don't care? How many more times do they have to torture us, steal our money, before we say they don't care? And when you don't care, you're doing everything in opposition to the Constitution, because the Constitution says the whole purpose is to protect us, well, the government. So the government is not doing its job. Therefore, you are correct, they need to be impeached. They are more interested in affirmative action and DIE, as I say, which is their diversity, inclusion, and equity. They want us to DIE, so remember that. And when they say DEI, change it and show them, who also can control the language. We don't do that. So we don't fight back, and we are easy prey. When somebody rolls over, which is what Biden has done, he has not rolled over for anything other than money. The rest of it, he doesn't care. The only thing he cares about is himself and his son, who is another story. But as a result of that, when something happens that is a tragedy, well, that's the wrong group of people that's having that tragedy, so that's too bad. I'll go take the right group of people. And who is the right group of people? The one who pays them the most money, gives them the best deal. There was a saying that Marx used to say, Karl Marx, and he said that if a capitalist will sell you the rope with which you can use to hang him. Now, think about that. Isn't that what we're doing? This is exactly what we're doing. We are selling ourselves, and we are selling ourselves in a apathetic, amoral way. And therefore, there's no fight. We have already given up. Look at the people who are in the jail from January 6th. Wait till this tape, this recording comes out. Because McCarthy said he's going to just put the whole thing out, which is what he should do. Who gives those people back their lives? Look at what we did in America. We tortured them, and we allowed it to happen. Where were the people storming the, protesting outside the jail? This mayor, who is allowing this to happen? I don't care if you are for it or against it. These are human beings. And now what we are seeing, but we are not allowing ourselves to see it, is the fact that they don't care. It's a perfect example. Yes.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question about that for two parts. First off, McCarthy was going to give exclusive rights to give the tapes to Tucker Carlson. I thought that by itself was outrageous, and Mike Lindell was out there fighting it. He's already the day before he was going to be filing some kind of freedom of information and say that that should be out there for all media, for all people. That shouldn't be being held back. Why would McCarthy go and do that? I mean, I like Tucker Carlson. That's all fine and dandy, but why would you go and do something like that? And then the other thing when it comes to these people that are in jail, didn't they try to say they were able to bypass some of the laws, due process, if you will, because of some kind of state of emergency or something ridiculous like that? There was some other deal that was going on. But it was all wrong no matter what. But, yeah.
Correct. And that was the workings of the Patriot Act. That's what this was all about. I can call an emergency and I can say you're a terrorist and I can lock you up without due process. Period. Now, the question is now becoming, who ordered that to happen? And all fingers are pointing to Miss Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Nancy, Mr. Nancy, should be stripped of all the money that they've been stealing from the American people for what? How long has she been in office? 32 years? They're just a part as the rest of the crooks like McConnell who are there. Now, we have to be messengers. You're right. We have to share this with our friends and neighbors, whether they like it or not. Stop accepting what they're saying just so you have a relationship. And stop. I couldn't believe that I didn't have anything to go shop for this week because I'm boycotting everybody. I guess maybe that's the way to say for your retirement. Look at all the unnecessary things that I have bought in the last month that I'm not buying now and I have money left over. Wow, that was a shock. But folks, that's what this is about. Their biggest fear, let's get this right, there are more of us than them. And their biggest fear is that we're going to find out that's true. They can't stand the thought of us communicating with each other. And thank you, Elon Musk, who, by the way, is not perfect because Tesla was built on Chinese money, which is American money. So I guess it depends on how you look at it. But it's the corruption is beyond. So what we should really be doing, Marjorie Taylor Greene said, hey, the divorce. No, we don't need a divorce. What we need is to be Americans first. So we will change. We will be American blacks, American Jews, American whatever. We are Americans first. We're going to be first. Stop putting us second. Okay, so we need to do something like that. We then need to use our tools that we have, like our money, and say, I'm not going to buy that. I'm not going to go there. How many, here's your ignorant people, went took their kids to Disneyland? for Disney World this summer vacation. How many people did that? Well, fortunately, a lot less than did before, but that doesn't matter. If you're going to win, you have to address who the enemy is and stop feeding them. Stop giving them. I don't understand how people are still on Facebook, use Google, Gmail. The Chinese are sitting there reading your email, so make sure that they're nice and juicy. And as for what is happening, I mean, we heard that in also from Claire last week. They control everything. They have everything. Every time you make a keystroke, it's recorded and put in a fuse for artificial intelligence, because they figure by 2050, they won't need humans. Listen to what's going on with some of these robots and how people are treating them like people. It's a machine programmed by a human. That's what people don't get. So your robot is going to be woke. Isn't that exciting? We have to pay attention. We have to get our kids out of public schools. What are the churches doing? Create one-room schoolhouses. Get your kids to read, write, and do math. That's the most important thing. And what did we see? Over 55% of America's kids can't read, write, and do math. We have become exactly those three things altogether, Sally. Dumb and stupid. Because we're allowing it to happen even against our common sense. It's like somebody saying, you know, the light would probably look better if you stuck your finger in the plug. And you're going to go, stick my finger in the plug, why would I do that? Because the light will be better if you do that. And do you know that if you are talked into that, you will do that? And that's
yeah, you can brainwash people. But brainwashing is much more powerful than we realize.
Yes. And what we have to do is say, I am not going to be brainwashed. So no, you idiot, I'm not going to stick my finger in the plug. I don't care about being one of the guys. I don't care what you say about me on Twitter or Facebook, a bunch of nameless, faceless people that are robots, guys. It's artificial intelligence. That's why I keep on saying, if you want to stop, you had better learn to do things with paper and pen the old-fashioned way. And start using emails again, because they're harder to read than going and giving someone your information. You are giving them information of you so that they can program artificial intelligence and kill you. Okay? Is that okay? And that's why, like Sally said, I wrote the article, what are solar panels taste like? Because when I drive down the highway where I live, there were supposed to be farms. And now there's solar farms. Where is our food going to come from? There's no...
And again, I got to say, when we talk about these solar panel stuff, this is the ultimate in the windmills. This is the ultimate example of ignorant, dumb, or stupid. Okay, maybe in the beginning there was some ignorance. You thought the solar was some kind of wonderful thing. But at some point, did you not? We've proven it's not very effective, especially in certain climates. But at some point, did you not understand you're taking away your food supply? Do you not? I mean, if you want to put solar panels on your house or on the buildings, whatever, you know, go for it and try to make it more efficient so it actually does something. But what do they say? It with all the stuff they're doing right now, it comes up with less than 3% of all the energy or whatever. That may be even high. But you're taking away your farmland. Where you're going to go try right now? You're going to try to go get your food from China? Is that what you're going to do? It just this is the stupidity of it all. Okay, ignorant solar. Oh yes, green. It's going to be all wonderful. We're going to protect the planet. All sounded great in the beginning. When and we should all take care of the planet. We should all respect it and try to protect it and keep it usable, if you will. But that isn't what they're trying to do. It's all control. That what they, it's no. If you're going to believe the climate stuff, then I guess you're going to believe that COVID was transferred from bats or whatever else they're going to say, and that you should wear a mask. If you're going to believe that too, because it's all the same. It, just open your eyes, open the brain. God gave you a brain, people. Please use it. Go do a little bit of research on your own and not listen strictly to the gobbledygook you get on the mainstream media stuff. And if you still believe it, then I'm just you're stupid. Sorry, I don't know. You can't be that clueless. Maybe it's clueless. Does clueless sound nice or stupid? The same thing. I don't know. You can't connect the dots.
No,
you're helping to destroy the country. Sorry, I was listening and I had to get in there.
Oh, I thought we were done, so sorry. My idea of a solution is instead of a divorce, we have let's follow the Constitution. And anything that's not part of the Constitution, let's get rid of. Wow, would that be easy and novel? And why am I saying easy? Because all you have to do is say, oh, Department of Education gets $22 billion. How many states do we have? What's the population of each? Give each a percentage of that money in a block grant that says, here, fix your education. End of story, end of education department. There is no reason for an education department. There's no reason for an EPA. Every state has an EPA. And what happens is, like, and every state has a health, a surgeon general. Look at what... our surgeon in general did in Florida. He says, no, we're not going to do that. That's dumb. That doesn't work. How many other surgeon generals said that? We have the tools. We have to use them. We're not using them. And by using them, I mean picking up the phone and say, hi, surgeon general, that was great. Keep it up. We're very quick to yell at them when they do something wrong and stupid, but we should also say, great, that's what we want. So,
go ahead and finish that, and then we've got a couple calls.
And the only other thing that I wanted to add was when you follow the Constitution, we have a problem because Nikki Haley is not a natural-born citizen. And because she is not a natural-born citizen, she is not eligible to be president, nor is Kamala Harris. So instead of worrying about Kamala Harris, all we have to do is say, she can't be president, she's not a natural-born citizen. But people don't know that because they don't know the Constitution. So I would suggest that you all go to the fourth paragraph of Article 2, Section 1, and it will tell you that no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States before the Constitution was written. I don't think Nikki Haley is 230 years old. So she couldn't have been a citizen before the Constitution was written, and she's not a natural-born citizen. Then to make matters worse, if they actually read the 14th Amendment, which of course addresses slavery, and by the way, every single religion was slaves somewhere. Every color of human being was slaves somewhere at some time in their life. So get over it. It's time to end all of this stupidity and start being American. But if we go to the 14th Amendment, Sally, if I might, it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and therefore of the state where they reside. So now we have to look at Nikki Haley and understand what this means. Nikki Haley's parents came from India. And when they came here, they were not American citizens. I believe they had visas. That I don't, I have to, don't quote me on that one, but that's what I think I read. They had, they were not American citizens, meaning that their jurisdiction was to, ding, 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 India, which meant that when Nikki Haley was born, she was a dual citizen because she was born in America, but she was also a citizen of India, and that is not allowed to be president. You can be anything else. Now, why would they do that? Well, they do that because, and this is a perfect example, we all know the story of Obama, so I'm not even going to go in it, but this is where the playing begins. You, these people would not have their allegiance to America. They are more interested in the world. And this is what they meant in the Constitution. So if you are going to be president, you have to be under the jurisdiction of the United States of America. And unfortunately, Nikki Haley wasn't. So technically, according to the Constitution, which nobody knows and nobody talks about, they have to say that she is ineligible. I do not know if Vivek Ramaswamy is in the same position. I did not look at his information, but that's something that we will have to find out. Either we are going to stick to the Constitution or we're not. And that's what I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene should say. We're going to follow the Constitution. If you're not, go someplace else.
Exactly. And that's why Marco Rubio wasn't eligible either. His parents were Cubans.
No.
They were Cubans here in Florida when they had him. Because he was born on soil, American soil does not make him a natural born. They, understanding the difference of a citizen versus a natural born citizen, which it all makes sense. So and try to get people to understand, okay, so you want the Chinese Communist Party people, I won't give any other names, come over here and have some kids, and then their kids can be president while they continue on with their own communist ways over there. That's the idea. People don't seem to quite get that. They don't grasp that part of it.
Well, that's going to be up to all of us who are listening to explain this when people start talking. Anytime I get any information from Nikki Haley, I write back and say, Nikki Haley is not a natural born citizen according to the Constitution of the United States. She is ineligible to run for president. To become
We all have to push back. We all have to
and
say
we have
it.
To
we all have to push back. Yep.
And that's the, you know, every time I put it on my Getter account and on my Substack and all the time, and I will say it over and over again, and hopefully people will look, and we have to do research on Vivek. Vivek would be an incredible president. He is very smart, very knowledgeable, especially about the importance of being moral with your economics. And that is so important. But I don't know if he's a natural-born citizen, so we have to look him up.
Yeah,
we
I don't know either, but I like what he says.
Yes, and Kamala is the same thing. Her father even said, no, you're not. I remember when he was in the very beginning, he was talking about that, and he said, we were from Jamaica, and we had slaves. So there.
It's amazing how those details don't matter in certain circles, right? It's just amazing when they decide to.
Is she going to pay reparations? Is she going to pay reparations? She could pay a
question. Speaking of reparations, then we do got to get to Dr. Tolbert, and I think it's Sarge out there. I don't know if you saw it over the weekend. It was a black lady. I didn't get her name. Was being interviewed. I don't know, NPR, whatever it was, I can't remember what station was doing this report talking about the Mayflower, and he shows her the book where her ancestors came over in the Mayflower, and she just says, no, that can't be true. My family didn't come over in the Mayflower. She absolutely didn't want to believe a black person was on that Mayflower. And then the question, some others were asking the question afterwards is, well, does that mean she has to pay representation?
I know, that's why the whole
you know
thing,
what I mean?
The whole thing is just designed to divide us. That's what,
yeah,
they,
that's,
all they want to do
is
make sure we don't talk to each other and we'll fight about reparations. So we'll throw the reparations bone out. Don't take a look at the 100,000 illegals that just popped over the fence and brought fentanyl with them so they can kill
you.
But we'll pay reparations.
And it was just so funny,
that's
her reaction. They couldn't have been on the Mayflower. They couldn't have been those founders. I mean, it was hysterical to watch her. And it'd be kind of interesting to know what she's saying today now, because her family were the ancestors of this country. she wasn't brought over on a slave boat like she wants to think she was. That's just the insanity. Yeah. Go ahead.
And also I noticed that in one of the articles that I read, they said, and the whites went to Africa and got the slaves. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
No. No, they didn't.
No.
The blacks went into
blacks
the jungle.
Blacks are selling blacks.
And selling blacks. And the first slave in America was white. He was an indentured servant, and his slave master was black. So look that one up.
The truth will set us free if we can get the truth out there. But the truth isn't what matters here. This has nothing to do with the truth. It's all to do with manipulating and brainwashing for an outcome of Marxism and communism for whatever crazy reason they would want it. That part is the part beyond me. Let me go ahead and get Dr. Tolbert in here.
Yes.
Did you want to say one last thing before
Thank
I get
you.
Dr. Tolbert in? Don't go
Thank
anywhere.
You for giving
definitely
me
be
the opportunity to speak.
And you're not finished yet. We know. there's more to talk about. So let's get Dr. Tolbert in here, and then, like I say, I think it's Sarge out there. Hello, Dr. Tolbert. How are you doing?
Sally, you know, I'm just blessed and highly favored, and I want to just get into a couple things before I get into what I called about. If you go to www.calltoduty.org, everything you talked about, Marco Rubio, we had written a letter to the state of Florida about his citizenship and his dual partnership. And we also wrote the letter about Ted Cruz, that neither one of them are authorized to be a president or vice president of the United States, because both of them are not natural citizens. You know, we talk about Marco Rubio, but Ted Cruz's wife, Ted Cruz's mother, came from America, went to Canada, gave up her citizenship, married a Canadian. In the marriage of the Canadian, they had Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz then came to Texas, and then the father from Canada came. Ted Cruz then applied for citizenship, and then his father applied for citizenship. But he's not a natural citizen because of the fact he was a Canadian born, and he was not had parents that were U.S. citizens. And what you said about Marco Rubio was his mother and father came 9 years. They left. They came back under the policy of illegal immigrants. They had him, and 7 years later, they became American citizens, and they never filed a document for him to be a citizen. So, in fact, Marco Rubio is not even an American citizen. He's never filed for the green card or anything else to make him a citizen. So I just wanted to go over that real quick, that we have that. But what I really want to talk about, Sally, is prayers, you know, and that's why I called. You know, we're talking politicians, and we're talking about the issue of politicians, and we're talking about the issues of the Democrats and Republicans. And Nathan was on the phone with me a few minutes ago, how the Republican Party is going against Trump, and how Trump is then we're requesting that he runs as an independent, because the Republican Party is now saying what they want to do is they want to choose the candidate that's going to be the Republican presidential candidate and not someone that runs as a Republican, and they're voting and all the other things. So they're totally breaching the Constitution. But our big problem in America is Christianity. The country, American, is a country of God, and America was established as a country of God, and America was put together by God. We have lost Christians and the belief in God in the United States over the last 20 to 40 years. Our problem in America is prayers. Our problem in America is that pastors are doing a job for the money and not for the purpose of teaching and doing what is necessary. I really want the American people to stop thinking about politics. I really want them to start thinking about God. Now, when we wrote Volume 2, 600-some pages, what we did the interaction and the translation of the Constitution and the Bible. In doing that, yeah. Our purpose was, if the American people changed their mind, changed their life, and started their belief back in God, we would then follow the Constitution, the seven articles, and the 27 amendments. In the book Systematic Theology, Volume 2, we got into 600-some pages, and we actually got into the Jewish five books that are being taught in the Bible by the Jewish people in comparison to King James, and we went into Farrell Fenton. But what we were really doing is the Constitution was established because the people were Christians and believed in God. They established it. They put it together. The separation of church and state has not happened. We have lost our power because our governors are not doing their job. We filed a complaint many times against the states for what they're doing on education. The states had no validity in accepting what they did when the federal government came down on Common Core and pushed it. You either follow Common Core or you get no money. The states finally recognized that in the second amendment, the amendment that came out by the Supreme Court 2 weeks before my book was published, or actually 2 weeks after my book was published, came to the same conclusion that I came to, that a person has a right to choose the school and be paid for accordingly, and did not have to be only public schools that were paying for it. So this is a state right, not a right of the 50 states, but each state having their own right, that a Christian school could formulate, education can be put together, and the money from the state had to support the school that was talking in Christianity versus the public schools that people were getting paid to go to. We're seeing this with education all over the place. Now, we just completed $261,000 of student loans, and we just got the loan forgiveness under my nonprofit for my teaching over the last 15, 20 years. And finally, the government recognized that I have fulfilled the nonprofit organization and teaching through the nations, teaching for what I'm doing, and I get loan forgiveness. But I'm a Christian, and I believe in God, and I was following and teaching accordingly. And so for that reason, I followed the rules. So many people that are talking today are not following the rules. The rules are God is number one, not the state, not the governor, not the president. It is God. When people are voting, did they ask the member who was running? Our politicians today are not Christians. They're not believers in God. Now, I say that there may be some, but the majority are not talking about God. They're not talking about the intermingling of the Constitution. What we need to do is ask the political parties, where do you stand with God? If you don't stand and believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, if you don't believe in the Trinity, if you don't believe in the biblical act, if you don't believe the Constitution was written in order to support the agenda of our belief in God, then you need to be removed from the political party. Now, we can also go back into the amendments about the lawyers that have totally corrupted the political parties, and yet these lawyers are not even allowed, and we talk about that constantly. We have so much corruption in the United States that we're turning over. We're watching Brazil turn over to communism and socialism. We're watching Ecuador. We're watching Venezuela. We're watching many countries now going against the belief in our one God who created us in the body of Christ. We're getting ready to come up in Easter, and we're in the 40 days of Lent. in the 40 days of Lent is the assembling and the destruction and the Jewish condemning the Christian belief of Jesus coming upon this earth. The Jewish people still do not believe that Christ is here. I'm not going against Jewish people, but we taught another article that we are a believer in God, the Trinity, that Jesus, the Father, and the Son are one God. And yet we're finding that we're coming up on the day of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus on the 9th of April. Are we, the people of the United States, going to go out and buy bunny rabbits, or are we going to go out and protest against the government for not allowing us to be true believers? They have stopped people from talking. Assemblies went to Washington, D.C. The assemblies went there to teach and talk about God. They went to surround the White House and talk about God. They were told they had to leave because they didn't file the proper paperwork. And here are Christians going to preach and teach, and yet they're told to leave. What are we in the United States if we're not being overcome by the demons, if we're not being overcome by evil, if we are taking and going into 666, the sign of the demons, which is a sign of man? When are we going to turn our life around and totally believe in God? I'm asking people that you need to read and understand the Constitution. I'm not coming here today just to support the 600 and some pages and chapters teaching the Constitution and God. I'm here to tell you that you need, as an individual person listening to this show or listening later, read the Constitution, read the Bible, put them together, come to a conclusion, become born again, and go against any political party, regardless of the political party, regardless if they're an independent, Democrat, Republican, or other political party, that won't stand up and say, I'm here because God sent me. Sally, I just wanted to give a couple minutes, and prayers and grace and glory come upon you and your listeners and your speakers tonight, and I appreciate you giving me a few minutes. God bless.
Thank you so much, and if you are still online at the very end, I would love you to close the show with one of your prayers, because you are so right. People don't understand. That's why even when I read the thing from Washington, he mentions God. We are definitely a faith-based nation, but they could not take over this nation if they didn't take over the culture and destroy that, and people need to truly understand this. The evilness of it all, excuse me, why people, you know, if you want to be communist or Marxist, go wherever you want to go and do that, but don't try to take it from us. And we've gotten so brainwashed over the years, the political correctness. Well, if you're in America, do you have a right to be an atheist? Yes, that doesn't mean you have the right to take over the whole country. You don't have more rights than I do, which is what has happened in so many of these sectors, the different factions that are out there, where we no longer unite as Americans. And that, I think that's what we all have to say. I'm an American. I'm not a Portuguese American. I'm not an American Portuguese. I'm an American. We need to go back to being Americans and be united. We will never be united if we're not all Americans. And these people who don't want to do that are because they don't want to be united. They are out there to destroy. And we have to say, you know what? If you don't like being an American, go. You know, if you think as a black person you've been abused in America, tell us where you think you could be better off in this planet. Tell us what country. And we'll do something to set up a GoFundMe or whatever. We'll do something to raise money and help you change your citizenship to a place you think is better. If you think America is so evil, when in fact we're trying to go back to the roots of believing in God and decency of people and value of human life, not artificial intelligence and all this other stuff, and we won't get into all the transgendering. But if you want to be someplace else, then we'll help you get there if you think America's evil and the wrong place for you. I don't know where else that you would be happier or better off, but we can try to help you out. I'd be more than happy. I can't donate a whole lot, but I would happily donate to people who hate America and want to live someplace else. If you hate America, leave it. It's that simple. You don't have to stay here. But thank you so much, and it really is so true. We have to get back to faith. The culture has declined. The family has declined. Everything we've been talking about for years on this show, people are starting to realize, oh, yeah, it really is happening. This really is going on. and to we the people to change it. You're not going to change it. These politicians, what was it I was hearing today, our good old RNC chairwoman who nobody wanted except the elitist of the party, the Uniparty, they're going to have to sign a pledge before they can be a part of the debate. The Republican Party is already trying to stop Trump. This is the evilness of within. This is what your Republican Party, which is supposed to be a Christian-based party, blah, 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 they say, is doing to Donald Trump, who at least he went to the people in Ohio and offered help. Hope and help, something our own real president, if you want to call him the real president, illegitimate one, he was gallivanting around the world and telling other people, we'll help you, we're going to save you while we kill our Americans. We're going to watch our Americans die, but we're going to help you. It is sick, absolutely sick. And this is a guy who's supposed to be a Catholic, Biden. But tell me, what faith is he really following, Dr. Tolbert, because I don't think he's a Christian. I don't think Nancy – what kind of Christians are Pelosi and Biden? They don't seem to follow anything that I can figure. I don't know if you want to chime in on that real quick, or I'll go to the next caller, which I think is Sarge out there. Okay. I think he's on mute. Okay, let's go. And let's see. Is that Sarge? Or Sarge, is that you out there?
Ask and you shall receive. How you doing, Sally? How's it going?
I'm doing fine, and we're having a very lively discussion, and I know you can help out on that one. What are you thinking about tonight?
And I really appreciate what your previous caller said, and, of course, what you said throughout the night. I'd like to add a couple of comments, though, on the natural-born citizen issue and what Marjorie Taylor Greene said, if I might.
Go right ahead.
First of all, I noticed in your description you said that we're in a battle against communism, and that's not completely inaccurate to say, since most people generally still, despite the best educational efforts of our colleges and universities, still believe that communism is a pretty bad thing to take root in any country. That's okay. If it gets them into action, that's fine. You can call it communism if it rouses people to action. But it's actually this kind of grotesque amalgam of progressivism, environmental fanaticism, identity-obsessed radicalism, gender-muddled craziness, and oligarchic globalism, all mashed up in a particularly America style of soft velvet glove fascism. I mean, it's weird, but it's every bit as dangerous, if not more so, because it's even more insidious than outright communism, which, if you strip away all of Marx's Das Kapital convolutions, it's pretty simple and easy to understand. It's pretty simple to understand. What we're looking at today is a different kettle of fish and a whole different beast. And we've got to, when we go into attacking in detail, we've got to look at all the various permutations that it assumes. But I guess that's a story for another day. What I'd really like to talk to right now is what you said about the natural-born citizen issue, which is vital. I'd like to add on what Karen said. I mean, she pretty much summed up most of it. But with regard to Nikki Haley specifically, her name, her birth name was Nimrata Nikki Randhawa. She was born to immigrant Indian Punjabi Sikh parents in the United States in South Carolina at Bamberg County Hospital. Her father's name was Ajit Singh Randhawa, and her mother, Raj Kaur Randhawa, immigrated to the United States from Punjabi, India. Now, they did not naturalize before she was born. I don't know whether they're naturalized now or not, but I'm certain they didn't naturalize before she was born. And this is what is the Indian Citizenship Act of 1955. This is the most recent law in India on what constitutes an Indian citizen. And it says citizenship by descent. Every person born outside India shall be a citizen of India by descent if both the parents or either of them is an Indian citizen, not being an illegal migrant, provided his/her birth is registered at an Indian mission post abroad within 1 year of the birth. Now, the last part, I don't know if that was done or not, but if that is true and Nikki Haley's citizens had not been parents had not been naturalized U.S. citizens before she was born, then she was born an Indian citizen. There is no way on God's green earth anybody is going to make you believe that the framers of Article 2 intended anyone born a citizen of any other nation at birth to be eligible under Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. There's no way I'm ever going to believe that, given the fact that every one of the founders was not a natural-born citizen, and they had to put a grandfather clause in there to exempt themselves. I just am not going to believe it. There's nothing you can tell me. There's no sophistry. You're going to tell me and make me believe it, absent a constitutional amendment to change Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. And furthermore, when it comes down to the issue of citizenship, even though, as we've got to remind people, because they always like to pull this one out on you to bring this up. Well, the Supreme Court never ruled on the meaning of Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, and that's true, they haven't. But they have ruled on citizenship several times. Most significantly, in 1814, in the Venus Merchantman case of 1814, where Justice Livingston, writing for the majority, wrote in the majority decision what constitutes a natural-born citizen, he simply took from the Law of Nations, which is mentioned in Article 1, Section 8, which was considered the International Treatise on International Law, written by Emmerich de Vittel, the Swiss jurist. And remember, it is capitalized in the Law of Nations for a reason, because they're referring to that document. And Justice Livingston quoted in its entirety the 212th paragraph from the Law of Nations, in which he wrote this. They got to make it up. This is what he wrote. He was a member of the founding generation, Justice Livingston. And this is what he wrote when he quoted paragraph 212, citizens and natives. The citizens are the members of the civil society, bound to the society by certain duties and subject to its authority. They equally participate in its advantages. The natives, or natural-born citizens, are those born in the country of parents. Note the word plural, parents who are citizens. As a society cannot exist and perpetuate itself otherwise than by the children of the citizens, those children naturally follow the condition of their fathers and succeed to all their rights. The society is supposed to desire this in consequence of what it owes to its own preservation, and is presumed, as a matter of course, that each citizen, on entering into society, reserves to his children the right of becoming members of it. Now see, the framers are patriarchs, whether you like it or not, and they believe that the citizens, the citizenship of the children was the citizenship of the fathers. Again, this is revealed by the incorporation of this quote in the 1814 Venus Merchantman case as they sought to define the various classes of citizenship. They just put the whole 212 paragraph from Emmerich de Vittel's Law of Nations in there. Then, furthermore, it goes on to look at Wong Kim Ark versus the United States. It was whether or not Wong Kim Ark was considered a natural-born citizen. Wong Kim Ark was the subject of an 1898 Supreme Court decision involving citizenship. Wong Kim Ark versus the United States. Look it up. It's not like it's a secret. The court held that Wong Kim Ark was a citizen, mind you. That's what specifically what they said, by virtue of the 14th Amendment. Why did they say he was a citizen? Because his Chinese citizen parents, who were still citizens when he was born, were lawfully resident within the United States at the time of his birth. That's why they said he was a 14th Amendment citizen. Now remember, absent the 14th Amendment, he would not have even been considered a citizen. Nikki Haley's birth status, like Kamala Harris's birth status, is identical legally and constitutionally to Wong Kim Ark's birth status. It's the same thing. And like I said, Indian citizenship laws, Chinese citizenship laws, doesn't matter. They're all considered valid if the nation exercising jurisdiction has got you in their control. They're going to enforce their citizenship laws upon you, whether you like it or not. If under their laws, you are born a citizen. So, say our laws are the same way. You know, there's a conflict between a foreign citizenship law in the United States. If you're within the jurisdiction of the United States, guess whose citizenship law is going to prevail? The United States is. That's the way it always has been and the way it always will be. And finally, John Bingham, who was the principal author of the 14th Amendment, This is what he is quoted to have said during the congressional debates on the 14th Amendment. He said this. Who was citizenship? Well, the citizenship does. He said, citizenship from all other lands, all from other lands, who, by the terms of your laws and in compliance with their provisions, become naturalized are adopted citizens of the United States. All other persons born within the Republic, and listen to this, this is a money shot here, of parents owing allegiance to no other sovereignty are natural-born citizens. 1862, page 1639 of the Congressional Globe. And then finally says, I find no fault with the introductory clause, which is simply declaratory of what is written in the Constitution, that every human being born within the jurisdiction of the United States of parents, again, well, that is that word, not one parent, two, plural. Because as far as I'm concerned, the leftists still have not been able to alter the meaning of parents yet. I mean, I'm not saying it's four or six. It's two parents, parents, two parents. Not owing allegiance to any other foreign sovereignty is, in the language of your Constitution itself, a natural-born citizen. So, I mean, look, we've got all this stuff going with us. The only problem we're having is getting it into an Article III court to have it heard. We can't get into a court because the implications are too grave after two terms of Obama and now over 2 years of Kamala Harris, and the implications of reversing it and making it known she's not eligible under all existing precedent is just too grave to consider. That's what I believe. They're afraid to touch it. It is the ultimate hot potato constitutionally. So we're going to have a problem getting it introduced in an Article III court to be heard in an adversarial proceeding. And we get people telling us what's going on and what it means, and there's no response, so we can't get anything done about it. And my Americans say, well, if you're born in a country, you're a natural-born citizen. No. The whole idea behind the natural-born citizen clause was to minimize, that's the word, not prevent, because nothing ever prevents anything. No law ever prevents anything if somebody's determined to break the law. But to minimize the likelihood of undue foreign influence on the office of president, particularly from someone owing allegiance, whose father owed allegiance to a foreign sovereignty. Again, the Sextus framers, founders, were patriarchs. Whether we like it or not, that's what they were. And particularly they were concerned about what the father's influence on the child would be with regard to assuming the office of presidency. So, I mean, we get all this talk about your racism. Well, I got news for you. As much as I hate to admit this, and I do hate to admit this because I wish he was not, Donald Trump Jr. is not a natural-born citizen. His mother was a Czech national when he was born. He assumed Czech. I looked up the citizenship laws of Czechoslovakia. Under Czech laws, Donald Trump Jr. was born a Czech citizen. That's it. He didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't want to be a Czech citizen. But the Czech laws, like the Indian laws, like almost every other sovereign country in the world, that's what their laws say. And so Donald Trump Jr. isn't eligible either. It's got nothing to do with race. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with race. But these idiots like to make it that way to pettifog and obscure the issue. And finally, when it comes to Marjorie Taylor Greene, I sympathize with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Her sentiments are frequently mine. I want to get away from people who think I don't have a right to the Second Amendment. I don't have a right to free speech. I don't have a right to be free from George Soros-appointed prosecutors who will not enforce the law and have allow chaos in our cities and commit all sorts of electoral fraud, to say nothing of a host of a million other things. I don't want to be part of their country either. But we can get around that with federalism. Federalism. California doesn't have to be like Idaho. Idaho doesn't have to be like Massachusetts. Massachusetts doesn't have to be like Florida or Texas. We've got 50 states for a reason. Now, as long as all of the states are bound to a minimum floor of respect for the Bill of Rights, which nobody can go below, you can enhance the rights under the Bill of Rights, according to the incorporation theory. But as long as you stick with at least the floor, okay. Everything else, your country, your state is free to legislate in, depending upon the will of the citizens and the will of the legislature to either appease or not piss off their constituencies. That's it. Federalism is the answer, Marjorie Taylor Greene. We insist upon federalism. And like you said, the 10th Amendment, to a lesser extent, the 9th Amendment, These are the things that should govern rules in the states. No one size fits all, no cookie cutter orders from the federal government. We have a country who one of its principal artifacts or objectives is federalism. Federal government minimally involved in certain things. The states have contracted out to it. The states free to legislate in everything else. And that would solve much of the problems that Marjorie Taylor Greene is talking about, if not all of them. And finally, when you want to talk about, that Schultz finding your roots, it's with Henry Louis Gates, which is a fascinating show, I got to admit. Henry Louis Gates. I watched several episodes of it. It's really engrossing. But that was not just any black woman. That was Angela Davis. It wasn't just any black woman. Now, Angela Davis, just in case you don't know, she's an American Marxist. She's a professor at the University of California, Santa Cruz, where else? She's a lifelong member of the Communist Party of the United States of America. She's a founding member of the Committees of Correspondence for Democracy and Socialism. She's studied at Brandeis and the University of Frankfurt under guess who? The leftist philosopher, one of the founders of the Frankfurt School, Herbert Marcuse. Okay? He wrote Eros and Civilization. To a great degree, he's responsible for this transgender queer madness that's sweeping the United States today. She studied under him. And then she became a Black Panther. She became a member of the Black Panther Party. And she was arrested, mind you, for an armed takeover in a count room in Marin County, California in 1970, where four people were killed, including a judge. Four people got killed in this incident. The guns belonged to her. She was indicted for three capital felonies, including conspiracy and murder. She was held in jail for a year. She got acquitted in 1972. And she was the Communist Party's candidate for vice president. She founded the position of professor of ethnic studies at San Francisco State University. This woman is a total all-in, dyed-in-the-wool, neo-Marxist, Marxist, flat-out communist. She ain't just a black lady, a liberal, leftist black lady. Just can't believe, despite her complexion, that she could have any Caucasian ancestry. But she's got Caucasian ancestry of people that she considers to be slave masters. She literally would not exist were it not for the slave masters that she regularly decries. And for some reason or other, she just couldn't believe it was possible, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. But that's the way these people are. They're delusional, and what they don't want to believe, they simply refuse to believe.
Absolutely. The truth will set us free if we can get to the truth, but you've got so many people who have manipulated and twisted and just and make, you know, you say it long enough, it becomes the truth, and it's like, no, it doesn't, that you're not, you may make your own truth, but doesn't mean it's the real truth kind of thing. It's insane what has happened out there.
Every day I get up and I see more and more, I sympathize more and more with what Marjorie Taylor Greene said, but we don't need to divorce anything. We are the people who believe in the founding principles of the framing of this country, and it's great, and it's inherent right to liberties unimagined almost every other place on the planet. Don't need to yield an inch of it to any of these people. We need to make them conform to the dictates of the Constitution and the Declaration. We don't need to give up a thing, and we shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely those who think we will end up splitting into two, the communist United States versus the free United States, because of what's happening, the divide. I hope that doesn't happen either. And the goes back to what the federal government is supposed to do. And this is where you have all these governors who have become so addicted to the federal dollar, and that they allow the federal government has taken over the states because of the money. I mean, this happens all, and that's exactly what's happening with all these crazy solar farms and everything else.
I hate
this.
You're right
education.
About that. Yeah, you're right. We got governors who just, they're addicted to the federal money. They don't seem to understand that withholding money that they shouldn't be sending to the federal government and keeping it within their states might enable them to do the very project with the federal money that they keep going to the federal government begging them for. They just don't want the responsibility. Exactly. Of asking their own citizens for the tax money to pay for these things.
Exactly. But that's, and of course, that's why bring home the bacon. I mean, how many times have I heard bring home the bacon out of the D.C. people? But yeah, we're going to bring home the bacon.
Oh,
and yet, it's like, and how long ago was it when they first said that? I mean, how many decades ago were they saying that? And that was this idea, oh, we're getting this kind of money. And that's kind of why I was making the comment. And I don't know if Karen's up to date on what's, I know she knows a lot about these solar farms. But the thing where it just came through where, you know, this big deal, a windfall for us, for solar panels. And I haven't looked at the whole thing, but I guarantee you there's federal money in there. And then when I see that specifically where that federal money is, that's where I'm going to contact the DeSantis and say, send the federal money back. You know, this is not, you want to use federal money to destroy our farmlands and our food supply. That doesn't make sense. So reject the federal money on this garbage. Solar isn't going to be the answer anyway, and solar pollutes the environment. Do they not care about what it does to the climate? I mean, the whole thing is just, the hypocrisy of it all is just unbelievable to me. And again, the ignorant, dumb, stupid people, you could have been ignorant in the beginning. You can't be this dumb, and please don't be this stupid and go along with this insanity. I see John is out there, so any last comments for right now, Sarge?
Make those comments because, you know, I just like people to digest them and consider them and do your own research and see whether or not, you know, I can corroborate what I have corroborated what I said. But, you're right. When people were making those comments about bringing home the bacon, when it first started, hearing that, the federal government was probably two-thirds or one-third or maybe three-fifths the size of what it is now. I mean, the bureaucratic administrative state has gotten simply Leviathan. Leviathan didn't even begin to describe how big it is now. It is so big, it's almost unimaginable. Over $30 trillion in debt. Think about that for a minute, is how big this thing has become. It's like an enormous tumor now.
Right. Where is that? We have no the military has no ammo, and they're totally depleting our military. They're depleting our the reserves, oil reserves we have. They're depleting everything for us, and of course they're robbing Social Security blind every day, and they're bringing home the bacon, and people are, like, jumping for joy like they're doing this. It's like, no, you're missing the point. Karen, were you going to say something?
We got the Equity and Inclusion Department, though, that the White House that discriminates against white men. Yeah, that's all we need now. Discriminating against the majority of men in the country, that makes all the sense in the world.
Does Biden know he's white? He's one of those rich white men.
He doesn't know what he is anymore. He's a corruptocrat. As long as the grift is coming in, he'll go with whatever identity they put him as long as it gets him in good graces with them to enable him to keep the grift going. He's purely a corruptocrat with no soul whatsoever.
Oh, I do have a question for you real quick, and then like I say I got to go to John here. The information in reference to Nikki being a natural born, have you sent any of that to the RNC chairperson or anybody in the RNC?
No, I haven't sent it to them, but I'd be happy to send it. I probably should, not that they pay any attention. They probably know, but they don't care. They just don't want to be called racist. Like I said, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump Jr. are not natural-born citizens. Ted Cruz is a Caucasian Hispanic, and Donald Trump, as far as I know, is completely Caucasian, as far as I know. I mean, I haven't seen his genetic test, but he probably is. It's got nothing to do with race.
Right.
Any more, Pierre Trudeau is a natural-born citizen, or Angela Merkel, or, what's the name over there in France? Macron. I mean, it has to do with the status of your parents and whether or not you're born in the United States soil. It's that simple. It's not complicated.
It's not. It really isn't. But because the truth has nothing to do with it. So the Constitution is irrelevant to these people. We see the violations of the Constitution every day. And then the truth is totally irrelevant to, you know, They just make it up. It's whatever they want it to be. They make up their own truth.
You know what? One more thing, Kate, and I'll let you get to the next caller. But one more thing, Kate. Here's why this thing assumes the portentousness that it does now. Because we know the original sin of this country was slavery, okay? Everybody else did it, including the United States. I'm not saying it was, like, unusual, but it was the original sin for a country that was conceived in liberty and basic rights. Okay, so we get that. And a lot of the states especially the Confederate states, would not allow black people to be citizens. And the only way you could be a citizen of the United States was at that time, before the 14th Amendment, was to be accepted as a citizen within one of the states, which, of course, Justice Taney in the Dred Scott decision refused to take into consideration the fact that Dred Scott was legally a citizen of Illinois and, I believe, Missouri. But nonetheless, that was the original sin of the country. That is the taint with the natural-born citizen thing, and that's why uninformed people regularly associate people who strictly want to strictly adhere to what a natural-born citizen is, again, only for one purpose, only one purpose, only one purpose, that is eligibility to be present in every other respect, a naturalized citizen or a 14th Amendment citizen or any other type of citizen is exactly identical in view of their rights, obligations, and privileges as every natural-born citizen is. The only thing that has application to do is eligibility for president and vice president. That's it. But people conflate it with the fact that many of the states, particularly, again, the Democrat southern states, would not allow black people to be citizens until the 14th Amendment was passed, be citizens of their states. And that's why people get so, well, that's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons people get so up in arms about it whenever you insist upon strictly adhering to the intention of the framers.
Absolutely. The truth has nothing to do with this. The problems we're having now has nothing to do with the truth. It's all the motivation of what these people want to do. The truth will set us free if we can get to the truth. I believe it was Washington that said the truth will prevail if we take the pains to find it and to prove it, whatever. It's not the exact quote, but it's something to that effect. So that it's the absolute truth. Okay, hold on one second. Let me get John in here. And let's see what John has to say. John, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yep. What are you thinking tonight? What do you think about all this chaos going on?
It certainly is chaotic. And what has been got so far tonight?
Is that a question? A question for me? No, everything that's been going on. You can take any of the topics of the day. I mean, you can take Biden spending his time and giving our fortunes away to Ukraine while the Americans in Ohio are suffering and don't even have a place to live, basically, and are dying from the food, the water, and everything else. I mean, there's so many different issues, and of course, all the games that's going on with China, all the truths that are finally coming. You know, they're finally admitting that COVID came from a lab. I mean, and it's all the insanity. And the point of today's discussion is a call to action. Who is going to defend the sovereignty of this nation and our rights? If you think anybody in Washington, D.C. is going to do it, if you want to chime in on what you think is going to happen with this election, do you really think the Republicans are going to let Trump get elected? I really don't think the Republican Party will let him. I think the Republican Party is just as big of an enemy to Donald Trump as is the Democrats. It's just the insanity of it all. And then when it comes to DeSantis, I have definitely questions about him running at this point in time. Don't think it would be the right thing to do. I don't know. What are your thoughts on anything that's going on? What do you want to see happen?
I don't see why DeSantis would be in a big hurry to run for president. He's got plenty of time to do that. He ought to enjoy his second term.
Agreed.
And you hear a lot of things daily about it, like Trump has the lead already, and which I think is the case. And then there's the other intrigues where the guys that are a card carrying what is that What is that name that the Bushes had for what they were trying to perpetrate? People are called, they were trying to get China to run the whole world at one time. The Bushes were.
Oh, well,
now, I don't know.
That's,
I don't know what
the Bushes are globalists.
The globalists, that's what they're called.
Yeah.
Well,
China's never going to be a globalist in the same sense. That's the other part. And real quick, before I cut you off there, Joe, I see you out there, so I'll be with you in just a minute. We got another caller. Exactly. We were talking earlier, talking about the Bushes. I can't help but mention this one. It goes back to the Patriot Act. And I remember there were those of us, I'm sure Karen and Sarge and probably everybody listening right now, we were all out there opposing the Patriot Act back then. And this is where you knew that, I guess, maybe that was truly the first test of the American spirit compared to what happened with COVID. Because there were those of us that said, no, you can't go and do this. You can't give up our rights. If you give up your freedom, your liberty for security, you will have neither. Benjamin Franklin. And it's true. And we gave up rights there. And look how they have abused those rights. With the Patriot Act, and who was president at the time? Good old Bush. And who was now one of the Supreme Court justices who was part of the Patriot Act? Kavanaugh. So people better kind of think about what that Patriot Act really meant to us and how it's harmed us. Go ahead. Anything else you want to say before I go take the other caller here? Oops, we
go
got
ahead
two
and
people
take
on
the other call.
You now. Okay. Well,
yeah, maybe they
you.
Have something to add.
Okay. This is Joe, and Nathan, I see you out there, too, so we'll get to you. We got about
yes, how you
30
doing?
Minutes left here.
How's
hey,
it going?
Joe, what's going on? Oh.
Not much. I think the only solution is, get away from the national spectrum. States have sovereign rights for this reason, because if the federal government got out of control, all the states have their individual rights and sovereign rights to basically, I don't like to say succeed, but they have to threaten that. Our federal government is out of control. They usurped their power too far. They have too much control over the money and the money supply, and it's right now, you see, what is the federal government's real responsibility anyway? And look at sending all this money over to Ukraine. That's a travesty right there. That is disgusting. With the problems that we have in this country right now, with what's going on in our country, right down even to the homeless people, there should not be one homeless person before we send $1 over to Ukraine, let alone billions. So, and that war there in Ukraine, again, I'm back and forth on it. Putin, he said everything he said in his speech was pretty much true about the West and the United States. I mean, look at what that's what we are. We complain about them locking up protesters and beating people up. Look at our police. Our police do the same thing. Our country does the same thing to protesters and kills people. So, we're not the big moral policemen around the world. We have we basically put our foot in our mouth all the time. So, I think it's states' rights first, and then we have to start taking back things locally and to strip away the power of the federal government.
Well, I'll tell you, definitely at the local level, and people, we talk about this and time again, everybody's talking about the federal level, but like ESG, the ESG stuff, we can stop at the state level, the local and state level, we can stop it, and that is what's happening out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're absolutely correct, and that's just one of the major issues, too, that you just brought up. I know you're big on that, and it's important. And all these important issues that – see, we're all running around going different ways. We all fight. And you know what the biggest travesty is? Really, it's us. We don't stick up for each other. We're not willing to sacrifice for each other. How many times have you – even the smallest problem, you run into a problem at a store or something, and you hear the clerk or whatever say, well, it's our policy. Well, I'm not going to lose my job over this. You just got to – nobody's willing to stand up to do the right thing anymore. I'm not saying nobody. I'm just using that, paraphrasing a conversation. Now, there are good people out there in this country, but the majority of them are not like it once was. We don't have the good, you know, like the World War II, World War I generation. Those people are long gone. But today, people don't care about each other. We don't have the respect, self-respect for each other. We're too worried about racism that doesn't exist. We're too worried about offending somebody and the wussifying of the white man, you know. So there's just so many issues that have to be addressed. I think really we've buried ourselves. America has melted its pot, and really it's time to just, you know, just sit back and say, hey, let it fall down and crumble, and we'll have to just, you know, sacrifice everything and rebuild. I don't know. I just don't want to see another foreign country come in here like China and take us over, you know. It won't be good.
Yeah, well, how much control do you think China has of this country right now? I mean, literally. When you think of everything that, and how we have handed it over to them. But you're right. It's a total decline of the culture. That's the only way they could take down the country, is to take down the culture bit by bit. And like I say, the Patriot Act, you can go back to the theory. Do you believe in the military-industrial complex? What do you think really happened on 9/11? And how does that play into where we are now? I think it's all relative. And, you know, back then, of course, you couldn't say that. You couldn't go and say those kind of things. You would say, oh, no, nobody would ever hurt the United States of America. Well, they just did. Are you going to just keep ignoring it, or are you going to face the truth and start taking some action to defend yourself? But we had already let the enemy in. We've already said, oh, yeah. Enemies, come on in. China, come on in. You know, hey, you want the, you know, and the part that to me is the most disgusting, this was all under the guise, hey, we're going to show China what it's like. You know, you can be a democracy and a free market and how wonderful it is. And they're going to come along with us, and they're going to see they really like this, and they're going to be a free society. They're going to do this. When, in fact, all we did is say, come on in and take over our country, because that's really what we've done. I mean, that's the way I see it. And to your point, who in Washington, D.C. is truly standing up for us to say this? At a minimum, these people would be sharing the truth, the history of what has happened here. Talk about the Patriot Act. We shouldn't be doing – the Patriot Act should be gone. It was supposed to have been sunset, whatever. And but either they keep
Trump
should have
got rid of the Patriot Act. Trump should have got rid
of
the Patriot Act. That's one of the things he could have done. There's a lot of things he could have done that he didn't do, which concerns me. You know, because everyone puts a lot of faith into Donald Trump. You know, and you remember he was once a Democrat too. So you know.
Well, so, I mean, I was raised a Democrat. I was raised with parents from Massachusetts. I was raised a Democrat, and if I would have
you're not a billionaire though.
Well, this is true too. This is true. But I paid attention, and the Democrats of then, the JFK Democrats, John F. Kennedy could never run as a Democrat today. He is way too conservative.
Oh, I know.
So
yeah,
what we've seen, the meltdown of the Democrat Party, which was always, they were always the racist one, if we tell the truth about history, which, of course, we avoid doing, and stuff like that. We can't seem to get to the truth of anything when you talk about it. And then, well, when we have the show on the elections, we're going to talk a little bit about what the Whig Party really was, too, and what happened, how the Republican Party took over the Whig Party and all that stuff. We've got to get rid of the parties. Well, Washington said the parties will destroy us.
Yeah, the two-party system,
and it's so true. It's so true.
You're absolutely right.
And, you know, I know you on the other show, Tuesday night show, what's the name of your show?
Oh, I do Restoring the Republic. Actually, yeah, I'm actually going to do a show tomorrow night. Thanks for letting me say that. Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow night about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Restoring the Republic, Gibson Media, understanding the times in which we live today. You know, that's what we try to do, get everybody together, talk like you're doing, talk about the issues that we're facing today, and try to understand the times in which we live today, and try to get a call to action out there, and try to get some grassroots people to – and we have had success doing that. Linking people together and meeting people on other platforms and uniting even off the air to try to get things moving, you know, to try to move forward and try to change things in this country. And I'm going to be running again here in North Carolina, so for public office. I still got my political committee registered with the state down here in Raleigh in the Capitol, so I will be running again. And, you know, if I get in there, Restoring the Republic, that's my platform.
And part of the discussion, and I join in on your show on some on Tuesday, and I'm going to try to actually join in this week as well, have people understand that when there's a total meltdown of the current, because we don't truly have a constitution today. No one follows it. This constitution is in so much violation. If we truly restore the republic and get back to the grassroots of what this Constitution is supposed to be. We may need to set up a new replacing these people, the traitors that are in public office today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My understanding is that you're wanting people who want to be part of that to be ready to take over, assume a role that may be needed when there is a true meltdown and when we truly have to restoring, call it a revolution, call it whatever you want to, where we redeclare our declaration. Because if you go to the Declaration of Independence today and look at all the reasons why we declared independence, they're not true anymore. I mean, they're all being violated. When are we going to reenact or restore the Declaration of Independence and then restore that Constitution, which is supposed to support it? The two things we are so hosed up, screwed up, whatever you want to call it, right now, that we don't follow any of this stuff. And we've allowed it. We the people have allowed it to happen. We the people are the sovereign. It's the consent of the governed. And most people don't seem to understand. They bow down to these elitists in public office. And, what was it? I think it was even kind of funny. This was just one comment on Nikki Haley out there saying something about when she runs, there's going to be term limits. Why would she? If anybody would believe her saying that, she can say she supports term limits, but her being president doesn't make it. You know, she's not a dictator. Of course, I think Biden's a dictator. I don't know. That our president has become a dictator role, the abuse of executive orders and all this type of stuff. It's insane. But we have serious problems, and people need to understand the history. We already know we didn't teach history. We haven't been teaching history. If you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and will never be. And I think we've proven across the board the dumbing down and the ignorance of American people, especially in the area of
history. It's about sacrifice. You know, it's about sacrifice. Yep. It's about willing to sacrifice everything you have and what you are and what you stand for. If you know and you believe wholeheartedly what you're doing is right, and believing in the Republic and believing in your country, and, you know, and then a lot of times in the argument, religion bogs down the argument. People with God, that bogs down the argument. Look, the fact of the matter is the country was founded upon a Christian belief. It was a belief. Well, I don't care. Baptist, whatever. We can get into that argument. It doesn't matter. The point is that God was the substantial being that we looked up to, God, you know, when we wrote the Constitution. Simple as that. And well, church and state, listen, church and state was for the government not to get involved with the church not being involved with the government, because that's common sense. Why would we have plaques of the Ten Commandments all in all the courthouses? Obviously, the church was involved with government. So, you know, you can still believe any way you want. The point of it being is that our Constitution was molded and founded upon a belief that we had a creator God. And we can't deny that. That's one of the major arguments we get involved with, you know, where it bogs down the patriot community even, you know, where we get into, you know, well, you're supposed to worship Sunday, you're not supposed to do Sabbath and Sunday. You know, you get into silly nonsense ritualistic, characteristic ideals that we all have within ourselves that we think we have to push upon everybody else. No, we have to bite the bullet sometimes and just look at everyone in a whole, in a general picture like the Founding Fathers did, and just look at the bigger picture and look at things will work themselves out down the road if we just shut up and listen for once.
Mm-hmm. Well, learn more by listening, and there's many ways to worship God. You know, it's in one nation under God, and I think it was Reagan. If we cease to be one nation under God, we will cease to the nation will cease to exist. Not an exact quote, but close. But that's what it is, and if we're going to lose that, and we have lost the faith. But there is something going on. I think it was at a college chapel where there was like some massive revival of a bunch of young people getting back to God and to Jesus. And it was, to me, refreshing to see that we're getting back to some core beliefs of what's right and wrong and what's good and evil. And that, to me, is the primary. You cannot have a free society if you do not have a religious moral society. Not that you're going to be out there, you know, speaking tongues in the middle of the street or whatever else.
We can just govern ourselves too. We can govern ourselves. You know, it is self-governing thing. Listen, that's a bunch of crap too. We got to have a government. You got to have some sort of structure, infrastructure up, set up. How are you going to run all the things and the stuff that we have going on? We're not going to eliminate all the programs when we restore the republic. We can't do that. It'd be impossible. How are you going to eliminate Social Security right off the bat? How are you going to eliminate food stamps, 49 million people? There's big things. There are big problems that have to be addressed that people just don't look at the big picture. We're going to have to sacrifice.
Yeah. But we don't need to be building
Michelle Obama trails and wherever, nonsense like that. We don't need those kind
exactly.
of things. And the other part, on the Social Security, and I would love for somebody who really crunches the numbers to go out there, take all the promissory notes out of the Social Security trust fund that you can't trust. Going back from the day they first started robbing the trust fund, if you put the money back the way it was and do the math on the interest and everything else, the Social Security would be a surplus. But they use it as a slush fund to take and steal from us. To me, it's a violation, a breach of contract, because their agreement for Federal Insurance Contribution Act, FICA, was for us to pay into this so that we had this money when we would need it as we would be retiring, and we would need to adjust to the cost of living and whatever else, and of course,
we were in a very big, we were in a very big situation at that time in the 1930s and 40s, World War II. There was a big battle going on between good and evil, and, you know, and not to get into a big World War II topic, but, you know, a lot of that was, you know, a lot of wrong decisions were made. A lot of, you know, things were done that shaped the future of why we're facing what we're facing today. And we made a lot of mistakes and a lot of wrong decisions during that time period, Roosevelt especially in the 1930s. So, you know, again, that was a bit, that was a very, very dark time in the world. Look how many people lost their lives. They estimate 85 million. That's an estimate. I mean, it's probably well over 150 million people perished during that time period. Imagine. The souls lost, that are just vanished. There's no trace of them. The entire lineages of families gone that are not even spoken of today. They just disappeared because there was no, they couldn't keep track of them. You know, I mean, they didn't, nobody knew who they were, so they're gone. They just disappeared, murdered. I mean, it's just, it's insane. So it was a very dark time, and we're coming up on that again. We're looking at World War III, and it's going to be bad.
I think we're in a very dark time, starting with the COVID genocide of people and what they're doing with everything to do with COVID and the fentanyl and stuff like that. So most definitely. Nathan, are you still out there? It looks like Nathan may have dropped off. Well, Nathan, if you're still listening, call back in. I don't see you out there right now.
Don't you find it rather ironic that Nikki Haley, who doesn't even meet the basic requirements of being a natural-born citizen, is proposing another requirement that the Constitution doesn't, meaning you have to have a mental health test. Now, I'm all in sympathy with it if she had proposed it and say, oh, every candidate should voluntarily take a mental health test to assure the public that they are indeed capable of assuming the office cognitively, but that's not the way she proposed it. She seemed to propose it along lines of a statutory requirement that is completely at odds with what the Constitution requires.
Yeah,
I find it ironic. That just shows to show you how much fidelity she's likely to pay to the Constitution if and when, God forbid, she would ever be elected President of the United States.
Yeah. Wasn't she one of Trump's people, too?
Yep.
Wasn't Nikki Haley one of Trump's people?
She was all establishment as she could be, a stone rhino. And like I said, this thing about, we need to establish a requirement that presidential candidates take cognitive tests. Hey, lady, read what the Constitution requires to be president. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what you got to do. The rest is up to the good sense, God help us, of the American electorate to decide whether or not a candidate is fit or not.
Yeah.
Okay, I see we have Nathan out there. But, yeah, if they're not even willing to be honest with the Constitution when they're on the campaign trail, you know they're not going to be talking about follow it when they're in office. Okay, let's give Nathan a chance here. Hey, Nathan, sorry about that.
Hey, Sarge, did you ever hear anybody screaming natural-born citizen with Frederick Douglass running as a vice president for Victoria Woodhull, however you pronounce her name?
If they did, then I'm sorry, Frederick Douglass is not a natural-born citizen. There's no way to make him one retroactively, unless he could crawl back up in his mother's womb and get birthed again.
Yeah. You know, it's like this natural-born citizen, and we have a hard time hearing this subject, you know. Every time it comes up, it's like, you know, it's important to some and to the people that have the influence, they want to ignore it, and it's not that big of a deal.
You know, we, you know, and yeah, let him, you know, like Obama. He was born in Hawaii, you know, and this Kenyan ambassador is saying, we're so proud of him, we're going to put a plaque up in front of the hospital he was born in Kenya. It's funny. it's a subject we keep bringing up. Now, listen, on this thing with Ukraine and all this stuff, nobody's talking much about it, but if you go back to Clinton and Obama, they were doing a lot of promoting whatever the Russians were doing during that time, and then all of a sudden we look around and it looks like, you know, this is just an issue that just popped up, but this Ukraine, you know. I know you guys saw the video where Biden was talking about we're going to hold back their military aid if they don't drop the prosecutor that is investigating his son, Hunter. And they dropped it within hours. They fired the guy so that they could get our money for their military. And none of that stuff, you know, that was treason, bribery. Bribery right there in the Constitution as a commander and
should be arrested.
Commander in chief, you know,
should be arrested.
He should have been arrested, both of them.
Yep.
You know, and but it's like we get these subjects that hit us and we just kind of forget them. But now I read something yesterday. The Republicans are going to make a deal where you got to make a vow that whoever the party picks as a president, you have to support them. Once the party's decided that, and one of them that's at the lead in this thing is South Carolina, Tim Scott.
Yep,
Senator
the Freedom
Tim
Caucus.
Scott.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Now here's the thing. I've called his office before, but what I did is I took the article, I put it with it, and I put with it his letter to Obama. Opposing, he wrote 2 months before Ted Cruz filibuster, he wrote a letter to Obama explaining to him the damages that ACA would do to the economy and to the health care system. 100% of the Republicans, Senate, signed a letter, and then 2 months later when they had their 21-hour, 19-minute filibuster, the vote was 100-0. Well, I sent that out to a whole bunch of people, but I first sent it to his office, called and talked to his South Carolina office, and then I copied and pasted it and sent it to him in an email. And like always, he always sends back that he is serving his constituencies in South Carolina and I need to address my congressman. So I sent it to my two congressmen, senators. Rick Scott and Rubio, and I just said Senator Tim Scott told me to send this to you. So I was having a little fun with that, but it's funny how Tim Scott's all for saying, and they won't. This is my opinion. They won't DeSantis because of the two-party system can control him. He's a good leader. He's accomplished a lot, but I think they know that they can manage him. They can't manage Trump because Trump is—he jumps up in your face and starts talking trash, and he doesn't have that. He just—this is my opinion. DeSantis needs to stay away from. But the whole thing is that when they make a vow that they are going to support this candidate, whoever the party decided on it. That there, and this is one of the things I pointed out to the senator in South Carolina, the election system is for the people, not for the politicians to put together their plan. And you're locking people out from being able to run. You're locking people from being able to win. And you violated your oath to the Constitution. It's we the people, not we the political parties or the, you know, the government, state or federal. So I got my therapy today.
Well, I'm telling you, Nathan's going to have some really good therapy in a couple of weeks when we have that show on the elections, because Nathan, just so everybody's on notice now, when we have that show on the elections, Nathan's going to be given a lot of time to talk about his electoral college and this other stuff. We're also going to talk about what's going on right here in Florida, where people get elected in primaries, which I don't think is right, how the I heard over the weekend the no party affiliates, 45% of the people are identified as no party affiliates, and something like 25% are Republicans and 30% are Democrats. The whole point is the majority of the people are sick of both parties, and yet this group of people, the no party affiliates, are excluded more than anything else. And it's like you're forcing me to take sides with two enemies because I think you're both working against us. It's the uniparty. It really doesn't matter, as I've said many times in the past. The Democrats were the smarter ones, where they took over the Republican Party by running. They said, well, we know what to say. Now, I mean, you know, like I said, I was a Democrat. I was born and raised a Democrat, and I was one, and then I left the party, became a Republican for a short time, left that party, and was a no-party affiliate for many years, and only became a Republican here in Jackson County so that I could vote in the local elections because all that was running was Republicans. And then at the last minute, they were in the primary. There were only Republicans running, which they should have forced them to because there were no Democrats or any other parties. Then, like 1 week, 2 weeks before the election, they're saying, "Oh, everybody votes in the primary. Oh, everybody, because there's going to be somebody elected in the primary. You should never be electing people in a primary. Totally disenfranchises and alienates all the no party affiliates." So we're going to get into that discussion too. So please tune in, and if from your own states, if you got weird stuff going on in your own states, we need to address that because the states are supposed to be controlling a lot of this election stuff. And we'll distinguish a state election versus the federal election, the closed and closed primaries and all this other stuff. They have no business alienating and blocking other parties or candidates out there. And we'll talk about the two parties being entities. Any political party is a private entity. So that's why they can go out there and they can go and do these rules. If you're not going to do this, you're not going to be part of the party. We're not going to support you if you don't do what we tell you. It's gobbledygook, especially with the way the Republican Party's been run. Why would anybody support the Republican Party as it's been going in the past? Now, when it comes to Democrats, if you're a Marxist communist, I can see why you would support them. Yeah, go ahead.
Sally, right now I'm sitting here at the Orange County here in Orlando, Orange County Supervisor of Elections. Democrats are at 40.97%. Republicans are at 25.08%. And the no party affiliates at 32.24%. And this number has stayed consistent for several elections. And you see them bleeding out of the Republican, mostly the Republicans, but they're bleeding more and more out of the Republicans and the Democrats, and you always see the no party. And this is what I've noticed across the country. You get certain areas like Okeechobee County. That's like redneck culture, right? You'll see the Republicans and Democrats are right there real close to 50-50. But you'll see that there's no way either one of these guys, the no-party affiliates, are up there real close to them, and there's no way you can get – you know that the no-party affiliates are the ones that's going to split the vote or either set it out, you know. Yeah. But they got this old deal. I remember growing up for many years, I heard 40% was Republican, 40 Democrat, and the independents are 20%, and they pretty much decide who the election is. I don't know if any of that was true, but I'm sitting here, and I've been across the country at all the counties, not all counties, but all the states and many of the counties, and the Republicans, and I contacted back whenever DeSantis said at CPAC here in Orlando that we had more than a million registered voters, Republicans, over the Democrats.
Hold on one second
And that wasn't true.
Excuse me, Nathan, hold on a second. Just to let everybody know, we're coming up to the final minute. If you want to continue listening, you need to dial in. We're going to go a little bit over here, not going to be too much longer. But if you're listening via the Internet, you'll hear it cut off here in about a minute. So call in if you want to continue to listen. Sorry about that, Nathan. Go ahead. talking about Ron DeSantis and how many Republicans are in Florida.
Yeah, well, and I called his office and I told his aide, you've got to, and I had her go look at this, go look at my county right here and go to the GOP, state site, and look at the numbers, and he just told a lie. I know that it's a lie because I'm not hearing any Democrats jumping up screaming, no, that's not true. Because, you know, they're playing a game, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to make the people that are tired of saying, I'm not voting for either party, they're trying to get them on board and make it think like, well, if I'm, for my vote to count, I got to be a part of one of the parties. And there is no parties in the Constitution. You know,
that's right.
Simply put.
The Reconstruction Act, you know, after the Reconstruction Act, all these agencies, too, we have to eliminate them if we're going to address anything on a national scale. You got the Patriot Act 1, Patriot Act 2, you got the NSA, EPA, NDAA, Department of Education, IRS, the FBI, CIA, Military Commissions Act, the Federal Reserve, all unconstitutional. They're all unconstitutional.
You mentioned the Patriot Act. I remember one of the things Alan West said as a Tea Party Republican. He was down here in Florida, and he said in a meeting, in a debate, he was saying that, and the Republicans ran on this, when we go up there, we're going to make a rule that we have to wait 3 days in order to read the bill before we vote on it. And when the Patriot Act came up, it was 3 minutes, not even 3 minutes. And if you remember this, well, we need to pass it so that we can see what's in it afterwards. And the vote was 98 for it. There was one no and one present not voting, and they were both Democrats, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, if you are a conservative and you can listen to this stuff, you're in an abusive relationship. You know, you're the abused one. You're the battered citizen on this mess.
We've got one more
whack out stuff.
It truly is. And I know Ron Paul was out there trying his best to educate people on the Federal Reserve and also the Patriot Act and stuff like that. And I would have loved to have had Ron Paul for president. I really would have. I see we have another caller out here, and I do believe this is Sandy. And I think Sandy was going to maybe tell us about what's going on in Chicago. Sandy, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you pushed one, so you wanted to speak on the air. But you sent me a message saying that they're going to let the prisoners vote for Lightfoot in Chicago or something crazy like that?
Yes, she wants the prisoners to vote.
Yeah. What does that tell you? Okay. Yeah.
All you need to know.
You never know what's going to happen tomorrow in this world.
Yep. Sure don't. Any other topics you wanted to kind of shed some light on, too?
Not really, other than you guys have really done a good job tonight. I've listened to it the whole time. It's really been great.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And all sorts of stuff going up in Wisconsin as well. I mean, Ron Johnson's about there fighting for the COVID fight, and then there was something else that just happened. There was something else, which you actually have live in two places.
The election for judge on Tuesday.
Oh,
will be
okay.
Supreme Court of Wisconsin stay more conservative, more right, or will it slip to left?
Hope it's to the right.
We all hope.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting with Ron Johnson there, and he's been so open and adamant about what's going on with COVID and everything else. And obviously, he was just reelected to the Senate, so that was a good sign. But at times, you get the feeling that they really don't like what he stands for, which is kind of weird. I really don't get it. But there's so much election fraud going on up there in Wisconsin's another one, and they've proven it, but they don't do anything.
They don't do anything about it. Yep.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, we corrupted the election, so what?
Well, that's
it's just like right now Hannity is on talking about Wuhan, the virology.
Okay.
You got to watch that later.
Okay.
Sally, I was wondering if you had heard anything. I haven't had a chance to really delve into it in any detail to determine its validity, but I've heard reports saying that the CDC VAERS site has confirmed that the majority of fatal COVID vaccines were knowingly sent to red states. Have you been able to confirm any part of that, or any? Have you looked into it or heard about it at all?
I've definitely heard it. Karen, what about you?
Yes. I don't remember where, but that was a while ago, because they were saying that they know what's in every vial, every one of those things, and they're charting them. And I had a doctor on the other day and on my show, and he was explaining what the vaccine actually does to the body and the ability of it to attack, it almost like it attacks good cells and creates the protein that the bad cells and the cancers feed on. And, you know, I've been listening. I think everybody has so many valid points. This is what's going on. So we have to say to ourselves, okay, what are we going to do about it? And doing nothing means we're complying, and complying means we're accepting. So what are we going to do about it? Well, as Sally and I have said many times, boycotts work. There isn't any reason why every single American can't boycott something like Lent. Take your favorite thing and don't buy it anymore. When you go to the store, don't buy those shirts from China. Our buying power, our power, look at what's going on in these big bloated companies as they are laying off people. Yes, people will be laid off. That is a recession. But how many companies may disappear instead of becoming bigger? And that's what we want. So the pressure that we can do is go to our county and see where are our county books being, you know, where are our checkbooks, what bank are we using? And make sure that it's a state bank. Make sure that it's something that doesn't follow.
Bonds, the bonds of the county, the bonds.
Well,
like,
whatever,
for instance, your sheriff is a bond.
Yes, whatever it is that involves money, make sure, where is the county buying? What are they buying? Where are they buying it from? And make sure that the county.
You
want to
look at the CAPA report.
Yes. Well, this is what I'm saying. People have to get involved, and there are multiple ways to get involved. The easiest way is give up all carbonated drinks. Oh, my goodness. I mean, John Kerry, give me a break. The day that he became the Secretary of State, the Secretary of the Climate, I said, that's it. No more Heinz, no more Heinz, done with them. That's his company. Imagine if everybody did that. And I keep on saying there's more of us than them, and nothing is more evident when you look at what we have done. Look at what we did for Chick-fil-A. Look at what we did. We did good things. Well, we need to hold back. And the thing that's going to hurt them the most is money. That's all they care about. Where are your 401ks? Are they in BlackRock or are they in a local bank?
Get the state to do something about it. The state can stop.
Well,
pull the money out of all those ESG funds. They shut it down. It's not rocket science.
It's
boycotting in that sense.
The travesty of tyranny.
Yeah, there's also a lawsuit against the companies that are doing ESG because that's not their fiduciary responsibility. Their fiduciary responsibility is to protect their investors and maximize the return.
Or force things upon the people, which they've been doing for a long time, and very important here, just,
that's
where this started.
Fascistic.
Well, if you go into the Reconstruction Acts of the 39th Congress, just one paragraph I'll read you, and tell me if this doesn't appall you. If it doesn't appall you, how could the people have allowed this to slide? An act to provide for the more efficient government of the rebel states, whereas no legal state government or adequate protection for life or property now exist in the rebel states, and whereas it is necessary that peace and good order should be enforced in said states until loyal and Republican state governments can be legally established. That's complete tyranny. I mean, how could anyone stand by and allow something like that to be passed and be hoodwinked? That's crazy.
Ignorance, being lied to, stupidity, propaganda, brainwashing. Give an example, and there's a syndrome behind it, and the syndrome is going to do nothing other than make money and destroy the life of the person that has that. I mean, about this. The one that really got me the other day was babies up to 6 months have something like 60 vaccines? Oh, my God. What are we doing to the bodies? No wonder why we have...
Well, there is a way to throw this out to reverse things if you want to go back in time, because, see, back then it was only male voters. Male voters were the only, white male voters were the only people allowed to vote during that time period, okay? So if we went back and said, hey, now we want everyone to have a seat at the table, then we can, reverse things.
That's what so Trump did. And the one thing that people are forgetting, and it was said before, he was a Democrat before he was a Republican, because when you live in New York, and you intend to do business in New York, you are a registered Democrat, period, finished, end of story, or you don't do business. That is the machine of New York. So we can't fault him on that. We have to look at his actions. But having been a Democrat, he knows the game. And I just read an article just before the show that I wanted to share, Sally, with the listeners, and that is that President Trump is now starting a ballot harvesting website because he wants to get into ballot harvesting in the states where that is allowed. And I'm thinking this man knows his stuff, because the way to beat them is at their own game. Instead of sitting and saying we're not a moral whatever, well, go into the schools and say, why is this, you're teaching what? Your religion is what? Your religion is, what do they call it? I went right out of my head, but behavioralism. You're teaching socialism, and the objective of a school is to be well-rounded, so therefore we have to teach Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and blah, 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 blah. And tell them you want equal time. There's no reason for not saying that. Well, the Muslims need a prayer room. Okay, so do the Jews and Christians and everybody else. So who's going to get a prayer room? And nobody gets
it. Orlando International Airport is a big stink. They were going to, in Orlando International. Wouldn't have one for the troops, but they'd have one for the Muslims.
Right. Do they have one for the Jews? Do they have one for the Christians?
Nope.
Do they have one for the Hindus? What about the Buddhists? You could go on and on and on. And if we did that, they're stuck. LGBTQ, okay, how many kids does that apply to in our schools? What? Less than 5%. So we're sacrificing 95% of the kids. 5%. Does that make sense? No.
And we don't even think it's really 5%. That's the games they play with the numbers.
That's their number.
Yeah.
That's their number. But here's another one. We were talking before about DeSantis. Everybody should tomorrow go on the governor's website and tell him exactly what you think, and tell your friends to do the same thing. If he doesn't hear from us, who is he going to listen to? He's going to listen to his donors. He'll probably listen to them anyway, but at least we would have a shot if we said something. If we say nothing, we have no shot. I would also get a hold of Jimmy Patronis. He's the CFO, and tell him, wait a minute, Florida is a donor state. That means we give more to the feds in taxes than we keep. That's not a good thing. So why don't we pay the feds for per diem of what we use of their service? And in the meantime, tell them to get out of the state because we don't need them.
Exactly.
We need,
that's the whole point. Department of Education,
need,
the federal
right.
Department of Education needs to go away, and this is where we have to push at the local and state level. Stop being bribed by the federal government. Do not
right.
take any more money. Every time you're taking money from the Fed, you're being bribed into doing what they say and what they want, and that's not the role of the federal government. And the same is true with these electric cars. We should not be allowing the federal government to control or dictate electric cars out there. That has nothing
yeah.
to do with it, and they're harming all of us by doing this. It's not helping us. It's not helping the environment. It's controlling us, and that's the wrong thing. So the states ought to be saying, no, we're going to continue to have the others. But right now, what are they doing? They're taking federal money to put up charging stations all over the place, which are never going to work. The whole thing's just insane. The technology isn't there. If the private sector comes up with the technology that really works, they won't have to convince us to use it. We will go to it. It's insane.
Exactly.
But mining
lithium-ion
batteries is horrific for the environment in the form of strip mining, to say nothing if it's done largely with slave labor in the Congo and elsewhere in Africa in the third world.
Yes,
that's right.
I think,
go ahead, Karen.
Sally, when they can fly a jet using either wind turbines? I don't think so. Solar panels. Oh,
I mean,
you've
got to dig up 500,000 pounds of
wow.
the Earth's crust. Let me say that again. 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust to make one lithium-ion battery for an electrical vehicle. That's a half a million tons of the Earth's crust for one.
Okay, let me say something right there, because we've talked about that plenty of times on here, and I want everybody who's listening to this, please take the time, just do one letter. You don't have to do 20. Do one letter with the core information and send that, email it, whatever, to every single one of your elected, your local city, your county commissioner, your state legislator, state senator, your governor, then the House representative and the senators. And send it to the president, too, but I'm not sure he can read these days. I'm not sure he'd understand it. But there's other people. We have got to bombard them with the facts. Stop lying about electric vehicles being good for the environment. They're not. You're doing more damage to it, and it's not about – it's all propaganda to control people. Would you, if people engage the brain, God gave you a brain. Please use it. Remember what we started out saying. Ignorant, dumb, stupid. Okay, you were ignorant about electric cars. Fine, so was I in the beginning. We're now learning. Let's learn the truth, and let's make an intelligent decision. So stop being ignorant, dumb. Do you not understand how to connect the dots? It's not helping us. Or are you just stupid and you're going to drink any Kool-Aid they give you? Take you know, it's one or the other. It's one of the three. So, you know. We are a little bit over here. I don't know if Nathan's still out there or not. He may have dropped off. And,
yeah, I'm
Dr.
here.
Tolbert, are you still? Okay, Nathan's still there. Dr. Tolbert, are you still out there?
Yes, ma'am.
I know you want to say something. Okay, you want to say something about the fare tax? Then we'll do a quick round table with everybody chiming in for the last minute. And then if you would, please close with a prayer. But we'll let everybody have one more shot. But I know you want to say something about the fare tax.
Yeah, there's in front of the Congress, and this started back in 2010, the Fair Tax Law versus Social Security. And if you go to calltoduty.org, you'll see the article that we wrote that Social Security was actually unconstitutional. There was also the fact that the military, when I got out and I served from 1960 to 1981, we now have 60 to 70% less soldiers protecting the 14th Amendment. Is unconstitutional. People can say what they want, but they need to do a history on it. And, of course, go to calltoduty.org and find out that we wrote a textbook. And if you want to know the Constitution, read that. But the big thing is that we wrote about the fair tax law, and that, again, is being debated by Congress. So I'll let you go to the other people, Sally, and then I'll close with a prayer.
Okay. Okay, Nathan, your last thoughts for the night.
Yes, I want to say thank you, every one of you, because even where I disagree with you, I thank you for thinking and challenging other people's thinkings. And I'm going to say this to Mr. Tolbert and Sarge. If you get a chance, and this is and I'm running into this a lot, you know, and I'm saying whenever it falls apart, look to the veterans. Don't look to the rednecks. Look to the veterans. If you go to YouTube and type in the Heart of a Warrior, there's a guy named Chad Robichaud. I don't know if this guy last year, whenever Biden took over, this is something that should have went through the commander-in-chief. But this one guy needed to go back. He was out of the Navy SEALs. He's moved on with his life as a civilian. But he went back, and with one other guy, they went back as veterans. He wanted to get the guy that was his interpreter, and he saved his life. This guy saved his life several times, and all he wanted to do is get him, his wife, and his six children out. His partner got over there with him and said, "What about these orphans?" And next thing you know, they are literally in the thousands of people getting Americans out of there, getting allies out of there, and the UAE worked with them with planes to get people moving. These were two veterans. And then there's another guy during Katrina, when we were seeing in the news, George Bush don't like black people. These two veterans that were Navy SEALs, one was a Navy SEAL, one was a Marine, they went in and evacuated over 900 people and got them on boats, got them up to higher ground, got them on buses, and got them out of there. And none of this stuff hits the news. And I want to say to you guys, I know whenever it falls apart, you'll be doing whatever you can. And I'm going to say for the veterans, I love y'all. I know that sounds corny, but I know you'll be there when nobody else is. And just keep doing what you're doing. Keep challenging people's minds, because the mind, whoever gets the mind gets the heart, and whoever gets the heart owns everything. God bless y'all.
And you're a veteran.
So true. Battle of Athens. Okay, let's see.
Yeah,
who's
now
next?
Go to YouTube and type in, go to YouTube, Sarge, and type in the Heart of a Warrior.
I will. Thanks, Nathan. And I do believe that veterans are amongst the most potentially valuable members of society, not because they're inherently better than anyone else, because the experiences predispose them, for the most part, to being prepared to preserve what is best about this country. And I think that's what makes them special. And as Sally just pointed out, the Battle of Athens is proof of that.
Well, but when you see what when you get out there and start looking and you see what veterans have done that never made the news, that's why I say forget the rednecks. They got something to offer, but remember the veterans.
So true. Absolutely true. We don't give the proper recognition to them. Who are the real heroes out there? Definitely not the people in Congress. The people in Congress are not the heroes. So anyway, well, thank you so much for that, Nathan, and it's so true. Absolutely so true. Sarge, you're next.
Yeah. Again, there's so many threats to this nation right now. It's almost impossible to categorize and list them all. But I think at some point we're going to have to prioritize our response to them while acknowledging that, quite impossibly, we may have to deal with them all at once. There are so many threats that categorizing them and prioritizing itself is a monumental task in itself. But I think at some point we're going to have to figure out what are the greatest threats imminently, the most imminent threatening developments against the United States, and deal with them accordingly, and list them, and try to obtain a consensus that is what must be done to immediately address these things. There are just so many threats to our liberty and our constitutional republic. It's impossible to catalog them all, but I hope at some point we do just that.
Okay.
Well, thank you as always. Great info, Sarge. Appreciate the discussion. Joe, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. What are your final words of wisdom for tonight?
Final words of wisdom is like I always say, is we've got to start locally and individually look within ourselves and then start with our families and our friends and expound outward. Start a little network between ourselves and then try to branch out farther and farther and farther and keep clicking with each other and just try to, you know, focus on one issue at a time and focus on it like a laser beam. Don't take too much time on it. No, don't absorb all your energy and all your resources, but focus on that one little thing at one time and see how you can micromanage that and try to change that within your community. And then move on to other things because you'll grow with experience and you'll learn how to attack the different negatives out there and try to overturn policy and procedures that these people are doing that are unconstitutional. Always use the Constitution as your weapon of choice because the Constitution is the most important tool that we're supposed to be guided by and live by. The foundation, that's the foundational document in which we live by other than the Bible. So we have got to, as far as government goes. So please, everyone, I don't think we're going to make it past 2024 if we don't change the entire de facto leadership right now. Every incompetent that's in office right now has got to go because we need new leadership. So if we don't do that, I mean, all we're going to do is prolong our eventual spiral downward turn into darkness. I mean, I don't want to see that for my children or grandchildren. So keep up the good fight. God bless the Republic. And keep listening to alternative media like this and my show.
Yeah, go ahead and give me your show one more time for tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. Restoring our Republic. Gibson Media. Understand the times in which we live today. And don't forget, I'm running in North Carolina, House District 65. Okay. So if you're in North Carolina, anybody who picks up the show, or anybody outside of North Carolina, you want to support me, go to my website, josephgibson.us, and check me out and show your support.
Thank you so much. Okay, and let's see. I think, Karen, are you still there? I'm seeing, did I miss? Oh, Nathan's already gone. Okay, making sure I haven't missed anybody. Let's see. Is that everybody out there? So, Karen, go ahead and make sure you tell everybody about your show and any final words for today, and then we will have Dr. Tolbert close with a prayer.
Okay, and if you go to Karen Schoen, schoen.com, my podcast, my show, and my articles that I write will be there, and feel free to drop me a line and give me your thoughts. My show is on Saturday and Sunday, 7 and 9, but it's also a podcast, and it is on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. The most important thing that I think that we all understand and believe there are problems. We all recognize that you can't tackle all of these problems at once. But I think we're forgetting the most important thing, and that is to be prepared. Because something is going to happen. Nobody knows what it is. Nobody knows whether it will be environmental, whether it will be a war, whether it will be a travesty. We just know that something is going to happen. And the question again is, are you prepared? You can't save anybody if you're not prepared. And I recommend to everyone, go take a room in your house and fill it with things that you would need to live there for about 3 to 6 months. Because if the grid goes down, it's going to be down for a long time. If we get hit by something, it's going to last a long time. We also now have too many, quote, coincidences of terrorist-type attacks on our substations, on data centers, on poultry farms. The government is killing hundreds of thousands of cattle for no apparent reason. So we are fighting our government. This is going on in the West. We have to be aware of what's going on. There will be some type of either food shortage or there will be inflation of that food. So buy it now while you can and store things away. and think, what would happen to me, like in the COVID, if I had to be, we didn't have that in Florida, but if I really had to be in my house for 3 to 3 months, 6 months, pick a number. Nobody knows. But like I said, you can't do anything. You can't think. You can't project if you're worried about yourself and your family. So the best thing to do is to take care of that now while we still have the ability to do it. And luckily in Florida, we could say, prepare like it's a hurricane, because we have all experienced those. The other thing I think we have to do is recognize who is the enemy. And remember, they're all over. They're, as Sally said, it's the Uniparty. They're the globalists. And everything that was described can be found in the 45 Goals of Communism, which was read into the congressional record. So if you type 45 Goals of Communism, you will find it. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Oh, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Every single one of us can do something. So let's do that. Every one of us do something, whether it's contact a friend, a neighbor, pass along an email, give out more information, contact your legislators, whatever it is, do something. Because doing nothing has gotten us where we are. Sally, as always, it is wonderful to be on the show.
Well, thank you so much. Lots of good information being shared across the board here. One thing I'll mention, Joe made mention of the Constitution. We also need to remember that thing called the Declaration, why we declared independence to begin with, why we have, how many ways we were being mistreated and abused by the king. That's why we became our own United States, and the Constitution is supposed to support everything. The unalienable rights, the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the right to own property as well. So all those things are all part of it, so we really need to remember that. And we need to remember to start local. It really does make a difference. ESG is the perfect example of how states, dealing at the state and local level, you can make changes there. And then we have to clean out Washington, D.C. It's a disgusting place. It's not a swamp. It's a cesspool. Think of the difference of what a swamp is and a cesspool, and that's the difference there. Okay, with that being said, Dr. Tolbert, any very last-minute words, and please close with a prayer. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining. This has been an excellent discussion, but information is useless if you don't share it. And I'll say one other thing real quick before I go to Dr. Tolbert. When I am out and about, the years when I was a no-party affiliate, which I will be before the end of March, I will be back into being a no-party affiliate. I talk to people about subjects. I don't talk to, when I'm talking to a fellow citizen, a fellow American, I say, yes, I'm an American. I don't say all the other gobbledygook, American. And then I say, isn't it terrible that this is happening? Or it would be so much better if we would do this. I would talk about the subject. I wouldn't talk about whoever the, whatever the party is. I don't talk about what Trump is. I don't talk about DeSantis. I don't talk about those people. I said, here's what's happening, and this is what they're doing. I said, it doesn't matter what party. This is what's happening. It's wrong. We need to stop it. We need to change it. If you talk to people in reference to the topic, the issues, you get a dialogue going, and the people agree. On the back of my vehicle, my car, I have on the windshield, I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. Somebody actually told me they took a picture of it and posted it on Facebook. The message is out there. That's what we spread that world. I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. We've got to do something about this crazy government that we've allowed to get into the shape. We the people, we're the ones that consent to the governed. We weren't paying attention, and they ran crazy and have done all this insanity with our government. So we have to take it back. And with that being said, Dr. Tolbert, please, any final words and a prayer?
Now, first, I want to talk about Nathan a minute. For those that don't know, he did serve in the military, and he did go to Europe afterwards, and he did get a degree in theology in Europe. Nathan's got more of a background than a lot of people understand or know about him personally. So when we talk about the veterans, know Nathan is also one of the veterans. And when I served from 1960 to 1981, I became the first member of the Sergeant Morales Club. I was a Vietnam veteran. And I learned a lot. today I'm a doctor of education, even though I'm a high school dropout. And we're now in 45 countries of the 195 establishing Walking Your Vision University, which is systematic theology, the spiritual eye. We're putting together countries to work together, and we're finding that we're doing more work in Africa, Pakistan, Syria, Cambodia, South America than we're doing in the United States. Everything that we discussed tonight, go to calltoduty.org and you'll read about it. You'll find where we're at. We're going to build 195 schools in the next 5 to 10 years. We're establishing and praying. God called me in 1999, and I followed his words, and we wrote the books according to what he gave us, and we're going to pray accordingly. Our Father God in heaven, with the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the blood that was spread across the earth that caused the creation of the new spirit. God, tonight we've talked about the things that matter. We've talked about things that impact the nations. Father God, we need your support, and we know that you will give us the vision and you will give us the protection necessary. Tonight, Father God, we raise our hands up into the heavens and allow the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to come upon us and fill us and bring us back to where we too become born again. Father God, we ask and we pray, and we know that you will hear us. And we know, Father God, you will act accordingly, that all the American people will turn themselves into what you created. We, Father God, thank you for the blessings you lay upon the speakers and the listeners tonight. But not only the speakers and the listeners tonight, Father God, through the 195 nations that are coming together. Father God, we're finding that many people know who you are, but they're not speaking your word because of the fear they have. Father God, remove the fear of Satan and praise and glory you. Father God, lay your hands. Let everyone hear and become and spread their arms upwards and know that tonight is the night of the new day. Yesterday is gone. Today is finished. Tomorrow, God, is the new day. We're prepared to act accordingly. We thank you, Father, for the closing and the blessings that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Tolbert, and thank everyone for listening, and God bless America. Good night, everyone.
Good night.